This is PFW in Progress.
The pressures, and I'm not judging them, I'm not labeling them, but they are destroying your potential. There are no more shenanigans, no more tomfoolery, no more ballyhoo.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are in the presence of greatness.
Paul Perillo.
Double burger.
Just had a double burger.
You shut up. I know what you wanted. I was there.
So give me your sandwich.
Give me your sandwich. I bought it.
Can I have my food now, please?
Here's your double burger.
Mikey, Ricky, Danny, Terry, Mikey, Davey, Timmy, Tommy, Joey, Robbie, Johnny.
And Andy. And Andy.
Former winners include Nobel laureates, Fields Medal winners, renowned astrophysicists, and lowly.
Andy Hart.
Well, that's all. If you have any questions, I'm sure that Tom has the answers.
Some guy named Tom.
Look, you're my best friend, so don't take this the wrong way. 20 years, if you're still living here, coming over to my house to watch the Patriots game, I'll kill you.
PFW in Progress.
Sky rockets in flight, afternoon delight. Hey, afternoon delight.
And we're here at the Belmont Country Club. Andy Hart, Paul Perillo, minus Fred Kirsch at the Patriots Charitable Foundation Golf Tournament, here for another year of fun and golf. Bright sunshine, which in New England over the last month, Andy, this is the stunner of all stunners, that they got a beautiful day here to play golf. But they're going to be able to do it. And despite all the rain they've gotten in the last month or so, we're underway here, and the players are filing in. Fred Kirsch, not with us today. He had some previous commitments, yeah. I mean, let's call it what it is. He big-timed us. He big-timed us. He's back at the office working.
Flying to the owner's meetings or something with Mr. Kraft or one of those fancy pants things he does.
Absolutely. Now, before anybody gets too excited, Tom Casale is here. I know you haven't heard that voice yet, so maybe you got a little excited that he wasn't here, but he is here on site. He is actually doing some work, unlike Andy and I.
Update on Dan Copen.
He's talking to some of the players, Dan Copen, as Andy said.
Now I look down, he's just standing there.
A lot of players milling around, and a lot of activity going on in the putting green here at the Belmont Country Club. As always, Andy, though, the Patriots Charitable Foundation Golf Tournament is an interesting thing for just us regular people, and to see the kind of prizes that they have up for grabs. You have a list of some of those. Why don't we just rattle these off for some of the superlatives on various holes?
First of all, bear with me. I'm reading Gary Gaudette's writing, which isn't always the best.
Here's Tom, by the way.
I'm back.
I had to take a little shot at you because I said, right now
I'm
he's
sure
getting
you
an
did.
Update with Dan Copen. I turn around and you're standing there with your hands in your
pocket. What? I had my reporter. I was right next to him.
By the time I said that, he was gone.
Oh.
He was standing there. Okay, yes, the prizes they have this year. Longest drive wins you a two-night stay at Chateau de Champlain, Montreal. Not bad. The second longest is a two-night stay at the Harborside Hotel in Bar Harbor, Maine. Let's see. First prize is a Tag watch. Second prize, Olympus digital camera. Again, Gary has terrible handwriting. Third prize, Bose Quiet Comfort noise-canceling headphones. And now, closest to the pin and hole-in-one. If you get a hole-in-one, you get a Marquee jet card worth 10 hours of flight on a private jet. Luxury vacation from Dreamcatcher Resorts.
So a lot of stuff that Tom and I are never going to get.
Right. A Jag or a Land Rover for a hole-in-one. You get to pick between Jag or Land Rover. Which one are you getting, Tom?
I'm going to go with a Land Rover.
Paul?
I'm going to go with the Jag.
I'm going with the Land Rover because I once heard a car dealer.
I'm going with the Land Rover. Yes.
Telling me not to buy a Jag.
That's true. That's true. I changed my mind. Andy's right. As soon as I said it, Land Rover. We got to go with the Land Rover.
By the way, I had a little joke earlier. I said when you win a Jag, I said to Gary, "Oh, you get a Dan Klecko." Also, another closest to the pin prize: a pool table / gas grill. And an exotic car rental that includes a yellow Lamborghini that's out front.
Three different prizes for three different holes.
Well, I don't know what any of this means. Sometimes there's a slash between things. Sometimes there's a hyphen. I can't read all your hieroglyphics you got on here.
I guess it's probably not all that important, the specific hole that, you know, the prizes.
All that matters is a really nice Lamborghini out front that apparently you can win a 10-day rentalrental with.
Yeah, and we did. When we were walking in the parking lot, that caught all of our eyes.
And also the bottom line is, none of us at this table or listening to the show can get any of that stuff, so it really doesn't matter.
That's true, but you know, it's like
the only people that can get it are the people that can already afford it. Right. That's a different argument for a different day.
Right. So before we just end the show altogether, we'll just carry on. But
the grill is also fired up, just in case people want to really get the picture painted. Smoking. It's the odors are good. I see burgers and steaks.
It seems to me there's a lot more people here right now at this time than there normally is.
Yes. Usually we're waiting as players slowly mill in. Right now we got a group over there.
A whole host of media is down below the platform that we're on right now. We're up here on, what would you call this, a veranda?
I don't know
what
that is.
Patio? Well, it's kind of raised to be a patio.
I'm not rich. I don't know what the difference between a patio and a veranda is.
Okay.
Deck?
We're sitting on something with a roof.
In terms of players, offensive lineman Matt Light, Dan Copen, as Tom already spoke to Dan.
Oh,
what's Dan up to, Tom?
Very funny. Very funny. Said last year, you know, he came in second on a tiebreaker. It says it was bull.
Really?
Crap. That he's coming for Hochstein this year.
I think we have our first guest of the day. A man who loves to hear his own voice.
There's no
man
one
who already collected three free clubs.
I was going to say, how do you get all the free stuff? This is unbelievable.
You know how to work this, huh?
We were just talking about all the prizes that go to the players that can already afford them.
What? Like what?
You know, the fancy prizes that are up for grabs.
Like the cars.
Star linebacker who just 2 years ago made the miracle comeback from devastating injury to Super Bowl hero.
Devastating injury to Super Bowl stardom.
Hero.
I didn't put that in the scrapbook.
We were looking for.
I didn't put that in the scrapbook. No. Although that does sound very good. Devastating injury to Super
Show it to people. Yeah. When you narrate it. That's
definitely, definitely.
Well, that's definitely how you put it to us when you were putting it all together.
No, I'm very humble.
See, Rosie has the sense to go to PFW when he needs to find
the official archives of the team.
Yes, and I also have the sense to go to PFW when I need advertising, like my offense defense camp that comes up, the new Roosevelt Coleman website that's coming up, you know, all that stuff.
What's the new website?
Right now we're still tweaking it, but you can go to it. It's Roosevelt-Coleman.com. We're trying to get it to go to R59.com. Also, if you go to RC59.com. I just got 10,000 hits there.
You're just buying domain names all over
and
the place.
And then also my offense defense camp that's July the 9th through the 13th in Smithfield, Rhode Island, Bryan College. Sign up now.
Who's with you at the camp?
I think this year we're going to have Hank Potee come out, Ellis Hobbs. I think Ben Watson. Got a couple of the rookie tight ends coming out. I don't even remember their names yet.
David Thomas, Garrett Mills.
Yeah, whatever those guys' names are. Definitely going to have some rookies out there. Some more of the veterans. Brandon Gorin's going to be there hopefully this year again. It's always a good turnout. The good kids always have a good time.
Who do people get a hold of if they want
to
get?
They go to OND.com, OffenseDefense.com, but it'll redirect you again. Sign up. They have overnight campers. They have day campers. Best camp in America. Best contact physical camp in America. The kids will learn a lot. They got actual coaches from college.
Get us the info. We'll get it in the paper as well.
You should have been running that a long time ago.
Well, you know, if you used to be friends with us and come up and visit us every once in a while. We haven't seen you the whole
offseason. I did last year. I was up there a lot.
Only when he needed us.
Well, I've been on the golf course working on my game.
Well, I was going to say, Rosie, you're one of the players that obviously takes this a little bit more seriously.
Yeah. I'm trying to relax. I look like $1 million, but
absolutely.
I only play like 10 or 15. So,
what do you got over here? What are these?
That's called an R7. It's a driver.
Is this new?
Yeah, it is new. Yeah.
Is that for the longest drive contest?
Yes, that's definitely the winner of the longest drive contest right here. Right there.
And what do you win for that? I had that.
I don't know.
Here.
Hopefully it's a car.
2-night stay in Montreal at Chateau de Champlain.
I'm trading that in for a car.
You see the Lamborghini out front?
What hole is that on?
That is for Gary. What hole is the Lamborghini?
No, but the longest drive to get a Xenia suit, $2,500 Xenia suit. Longest drive, I think, is hole 14.
I'm trading that suit in also.
Just so you know, there's no Xenia suit on here anywhere on this list.
What is a Xenia suit? What is a Xenia suit?
$2,500.
You can also win
look good on
a
plane.
Land Rover. You're not into that.
They're giving away Range Rovers?
You're a Bentley guy, aren't you?
I have been blessed to own a Bentley, yes. But it's not really mine. It's my wife's. I gave it to her.
You're a little bit of a contradiction, aren't you? You drive a Bentley, but you mow your own lawn because you're too cheap to pay some kid.
Well, you see, you have to understand. You have to understand. Okay. Stop laughing and listen. Okay, you have to understand. The money that I save on cutting my own lawn, trimming my own hedges, you know, giving myself my own golf lessons, all that money contributed to the Bentley Fund. And so, therefore, it knocked the price down a couple hundred dollars.
$6 million signing.
I was going to say that signing bonus sitting down in his order.
Let's not give out detailed information over the radio. Let's just discuss the basics. Yes, there was a significant large signing bonus, and we invested it all.
Okay, so you give your own golf lessons. Are you ready to win something?
Oh, definitely ready to win something. I've been, very close the last couple years, and I plan on coming away on top this year.
And don't you have a regular, don't you and Gene play Merchkowski?
This year has been myself, Gene, and Russ Hochstein, and I am proud to say the last time we went out, I beat them by like 4 strokes. So
and Hochstein's the defending champion, right?
Hochstein's terrible.
He's terrible?
He last year my, on the winning team, I
yeah,
know.
Yeah, he was, but they people cheat at these things.
Oh, right? Absolutely.
last year, my grudge match was between myself and Corey Dillon, so I kind of... Well, you can't say who wins when people go out and they don't count strokes and they give mulligans, stuff like that. We don't have time for that.
I was telling you, Rosie lost.
I don't know. Corey's been he's been playing a lot while he's back home, so we'll see if he's gotten rid of that wicked slice that he had.
Now, what do you think the odds are that he'll come and join us on the radio show here for a little bit? Probably pretty slim, huh?
Slim to none.
Yeah. Zero.
Yeah, zero.
Well, let's.
He doesn't really like you guys.
He definitely doesn't like us.
Apologize for that.
What are you going to do?
What am I going to do?
Can't do anything about it.
No.
He doesn't like us. He doesn't like us.
I mean,
it's not personal.
You have to change your perception toward, to him that you're a nice guy, that you won't write bad things in the PFW about him. Also on the radio, you
now
won't say anything.
You've read PFW. How many years you've been here? Fourth year. So you've read PFW for 3+ years now. How many bad things have you seen written about you?
Or
anybody else in particular?
There's a lot of bad things about other people, but I think that since I'm genuine and a very good guy, you guys don't write bad things about me.
That's what it is. You've done? You've bought us.
Thank you.
You've bought goodwill because you're nice to us.
That's why I get free advertising.
That's what they don't understand.
Right. OND.com.
OND.com. RC59.com.
Other letters.
Man, we're off the chain today.
Hyphens and dashes.
So what do you think?
Well, that's Roosevelt-Colvin.com.
Yeah, we get it.
Okay, now what are you saying now?
What do you think about this new schedule? Because it's a little different this year. Usually you guys have mini camp, then finish up with this golf tournament, and then you get away.
Yeah.
This year you got golf and then work.
Well, that's Bill. He wanted to change it up. And I think a lot of it has to do with the way they've structured the draft this year with the rookies, when they can come in, how they pushed everything back with the combine. So, the league changes every year, whether it be turnover from a player from a team or coaches from a team. And, now they go from each year, they try to change the rules to give, one side of the ball a benefit than the other, just to make it exciting for the fans. And so it's just one more thing that they put, on your plate that you have to deal with.
You mentioned the draft, but based on the fact that you said you're going to have, quote, two rookie tight ends at your camp,
don't quote me on the players coming in and the draft picks. Well, you know what? Anytime you bring in new guys, you will hope that they pan out to be what is expected of them. And, I know my rookie year, I came in as a fourth-round pick and had an opportunity to contribute on special teams right away and then on nickel defense. So you try to throw as much as you can at them and see what they can handle, and hopefully those guys can, mature faster than, the next person. And we need help. Obviously, we didn't win the Super Bowl. Even if we did win the Super Bowl, you obviously need to get better each and every season to stay on top. So there's areas of concern. There's areas that we need to improve in, and hopefully the younger guys can come in and help us in those areas.
How about the mindset overall of the team? We talked a lot about newcomers, but what is the mindset? You guys obviously finished in disappointing fashion for you guys. You're used to winning titles. And short last year. What's the mindset coming in?
You hate to continue to talk about it, but last year is over. And, this season has already begun. A lot of teams are doing just as much or more than what we're doing. So you have to try to focus on, what we're doing right now, which is the golf tournament. And then tomorrow we get back to go out to play football and do the mini camp, and hope we can build some more foundation on what we want to do when we come into training camp. And then hopefully training camp will be solid and you go into the preseason and continue on. So, the guys are committed. I think they're hungry. I think everybody's willing and ready to put themselves in a position to be on top. And, we just got to work hard and do the things that are asked of us to get us back to where we want to be.
For you specifically, this is second straight year, new defensive coordinator. You have a new linebackers coach now. How does that play out, and how does that relationship build from, mini camp into training camp and then on?
I think, as a player, you can make it easier on somebody that's transferring to a new position, whether it be a new defensive tackle or whether it be a new linebacker coach or whether it be a new defensive coordinator. If you just go out and do your job, then they don't have to worry about you. So if they can get, 30 guys out there on the field that can do their job, then, you know, it makes it less stressful for Dean. It makes it less stressful for Patricia. So we just have to make sure that as individuals, we're going out there doing our jobs, you know, on an every down basis. We're taking care of ourselves in the weight room, conditioning-wise, and then when we get an opportunity to take a rep in practice, we go out there and perform at a high level. And I think, for me, that would be the easiest thing if I was a coach. I know I'm a father of four, and if my kids are just sitting down quiet and watching TV or eating, doing everything, I don't really have any worries. But when they get up and they start making noise and I can't sleep and, you know, I got, you know, the baby's crying and need milk and all this other stuff, then that's when I get worried. So, you know, I think as players, I think the best thing we can do is to help them out is to make sure we're on top of our game.
Rosie, with Willie McGinnis leaving, there's some young linebackers who need to step up. Anything you've seen from them?
Well, you know, the young guys on defense are the same as the young guys on offense. They're, you know, still wet behind the ears, still trying to figure out, you know, where they're going to play, what they're going to do, you know, how they're going to contribute. And I think the big thing for us is just to, you know, as older guys, is to show them how, you know, they need to work, show them what they need to be doing. And if we can provide an example for them on a daily basis, then, like I said, the maturity process would take, you know, a shorter period of time than if it, you know, they didn't have a good, you know, group of guys that were around them working hard. So, regardless of what rookie gets the opportunity to play or what veteran gets the opportunity to play, I think we just need 11 guys out there, which remains consistent each year, year in and year out, whether it's Willie or whether it's Mike or whether it's myself or whether it's Teddy or whether it's Monty or Don or whoever it is. We need 11 guys out on the field that can play and that can play the way we need it done in the New England Patriot uniform.
Is there a young guy, maybe a young player that we don't know a whole lot about right now that might factor into the equation?
No, I really only know, like, four of the rookies' names. So, you know, I couldn't even tell you. You had to speak to Bill. I think Bill's coming, so maybe he'll sit down and talk to you guys about who he
may maybe
throw in there. So,
Bill's just a lot smarter than he looks.
Yeah, so, you know,
he looks tough.
I'm trying to focus on myself because after you take a period off, you have to get your mind reacclimated to what you've been doing. And it's not really, it's still second nature, but you have to begin that thought process again, and so it becomes second nature to you. So I'm going to enjoy today, a free round of golf at a beautiful, you know, golf course, and tomorrow we'll get back into the helmets and chin straps and all the other stuff.
All right. So we'll all see you tomorrow.
Yes.
Good luck with the Jag or the Land Rover.
We want the Lamborghini.
You only get to rent it for 10 days, you know.
You have to pay taxes on it if you win it?
You only get it for
10
days.
You don't win it.
Oh, you don't win it?
10-day Lamborghini rental.
Well, how much does it work? I need to trade it in for cash.
I don't know.
Time's tough in the cold. He does have
four children.
He has four children. Mouths I need to feed.
That's true.
So.
All right, well, good luck today.
Thanks,
good
man.
Good luck on that long drive, Connor.
And what was it again? Roosevelt Heights?
RooseveltHeights.com.
You shouldn't go. You could go, but you shouldn't go.
RC59.
OND.com. And also want to go to, in a couple of days, you can go to R59.com. That's the real deal.
What if
right
they
there.
Go there today? It's not like a porn center.
It's not. We don't deal with pornography. Okay. Those aren't very positive images for children to see.
You have a future in politics, I believe.
No,
very polished.
No, I just want to have a good time, relax.
All right. Well, good luck today.
Thanks,
we appreciate you spending some time. Roosevelt Colvin is going to get ready to.
Don't forget your clubs.
Use his three brand new clubs over here.
He's got
and participate
magic driver
in the golf tournament.
He's ready to win some prizes.
I got
to
think that Rosie's attitude is probably going to be one that we're going to hear a lot of in the next couple of days and talking to the players. Last year, a distant memory, nothing they can do about it now, and everybody else, we're going to hear that quote a lot. Everybody else is working just as hard as they are and getting ready for the season and has just as much optimism as the Patriots do. And we'll start tomorrow and we'll get our next look, actually our first look at the entire team together. Since they left the field in Denver.
And my first look at the rookies since I missed the last camp.
That's true.
Apparently,
that's true.
Rosie needs a first look at some of the rookies as well.
Yeah, I mean, evidently they're going to have to need some name tags because Rosie's not overly familiar with the roster.
He of the famous quote for Andy Stokes, that's irrelevant. He used to always say that when he went up against him because he was Mr. Irrelevant.
Oh. You think a lot of players do that in the offseason, just kind of get away from the game and just clear their heads and worry about it when they come back?
Yeah, I do because I treat it the same way. Like, I know we just write about this or whatever, but when I go on vacation,
we need a break.
I just get away. You know, Paul knows 1 year Brady signed his extension, I think. I was on vacation. I found out in a casino in Las Vegas, some guy said it, and I went, oh, that's nice, and went out about my business. I mean,
and then when Andy came back, he was like, okay, now what did Brady do? You know, what did he get? What did he sign
this
for?
Year Doug Flutie retired while
be,
I was gone. I was in a store in Baltimore, and I saw him on TV.
One was a lot more important than the other.
That's true.
Absolutely. But Rosie, first of what we hope will be several visits today, you know, here in Belmont. And especially now, Rosie's doing a TV interview.
I was going to say, probably, really probably no one more entertaining coming today.
No, he's tremendous. And you know what?
Wow.
He was joking around about it a little bit, but he's so right when it comes to the way you deal with people. Buys you so much goodwill.
Yeah.
You know, it buys you so much goodwill. You didn't hear anybody writing stories about Roosevelt Colvin's slow return from his hip injury. Everybody was more than understanding about it.
In our defense, I should say that Corey Dillon hates pretty much everybody.
He hates it? Well, yeah, no, it's not us personally. Right. It's everybody.
Well, but you also have to find out, does he truly hate us, or is it some sort of facade he's built up? It's just easier to say no and
as
be
a,
angry Corey.
As a motivation, too.
Yeah,
you know?
Some sort of... Because he clearly isn't a jerk. Roosevelt Colvin's not playing golf with him because he hates him. You know what I mean? There's some endearing qualities there.
If Dillon thinks we're writing bad stuff about him, I can only imagine what he thinks of the Globe and Herald, because we're pretty glowing in our...
Right. So, but
of course, we don't know if he's listening to the archives of the show.
Right. Yeah. That's true.
So, in which Tom and I have declared him done several times.
Just so you know, I did see, but don't see him now. Rodney Harrison was in the building.
I did see Rodney with Teddy Bruschi in the parking lot walking up.
And they were up there loading up on food when I saw them.
So they already went through the media.
Uh-oh, who do we have now?
I saw Tip down there, too. I don't know if...
oh, boy. We now have a competing linebacker camp stepping to the mic, I believe.
Oh, jeez.
Uh-oh. All we're getting today is guys hawking linebacker camp
on
the show.
It's going to be non-stop linebacker camp talk.
I heard Frank Fiducci is here. Is he? Have you guys seen him around?
No.
What are y'all doing, man? Northwestern. It's the only shirt you have? Oh, that's Northeastern.
It's a different shirt, too. The other one you'll know had a big grease stain on the sleeve.
Can they hear me?
They can hear you.
I can hear you. Andre Tippett, by the way, in case anybody. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, our first guest was Roosevelt Colvin, and he's hawking a camp. It sounds like you guys are in competition.
Are you competing with the offense-defense camps?
Offense-defense.
I want to give you equal time.
Well, you know, we're a specialized camp. We cover just strictly linebacker camp.
So maybe Rosie should come.
Well, actually, I was going to say it, but since you said it, he could probably come and probably learn a little
you
something.
You could teach him a
but
thing
you
or
know
two.
What? Hey, you know, the day that your learning ends, then you should stop doing anything. If you're not willing to learn and get better, no matter how long you've been in the league and no matter what you do, if you're not willing to learn and improve, then...
So now, in terms of fairness here,
you should give the website.
The linebacker school, July 9th through 11th, I believe.
Yes, it is at Curry College. It's going to be me, Steve Nelson. We're in our third year, and keeps getting rave reviews, and people coming from all over the country now to attend this thing, which I'm very impressed with that. We got people that are calling in from the Midwest and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, you know, that area, Jersey. So the word must be getting out that it's a pretty good place to be for 3 days, because we're working hard now.
Mm-hmm. Now, where can they get more information? The website is?
They can go to www.mastersports.org.
.org, okay.
Yeah, and just as a point of clarification, the dates were listed in the latest issue of PFW incorrectly. They are actually July 9th through 11th, and I think it was listed as June in the paper, so...
So you still have time.
We put a correction on the website on patriots.com.
Absolutely.
And obviously you can go to the mastersports.org.
Mastersports.org.
So you can get all the information there that you need. So that's
absolutely.
Andre Tippett's and Steve Nelson's camp there for the linebacker school at Curry College.
And we're also going to have a little treat there. People don't realize it. Steve and our former coach, Steve Sidwell.
Mm-hmm.
Who coached both of us for about 6 years with the Patriots. And then he went on to coach down with the Saints for a lot of years. So, and you know the Saints linebackers down there were pretty good. So it should be an extra treat. And if you're really looking to learn, you can pretty much learn from the master, Steve Sidwell. So.
And, you know, Patriots fans remember Sid as the defensive coordinator under Pete Carroll as well.
Absolutely.
And he had that real high-pitched voice.
That's right. That's right.
Actually, just the opposite. He had one of the lowest gravelly voices that you'll ever hear.
Good man.
Speak.
Good man.
More importantly, though, this is your other love today.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is where you really belong.
I've been waiting for this for the last 24 hours. Woken up 3 times to check the weather to make sure that it was going to be what it was what it was supposed to be, 70 and sunny. So it's here, and I'm ready to play. I think I'm playing with a great group of guys, and of course everyone knows this tournament benefits the Patriot Charitable Foundation, and everyone knows that Mr. Kraft is into giving, and this is one of our ways of raising funds for our charitable foundation.
Right, we should make that. This is one of the two big fundraisers for the Charitable Foundation, the golf tournament, and then the kickoff gala later in, was it August?
September. I think it's
August, September.
Yeah. Those are the two where they really raise the funds that they can then disperse throughout the year and use through the Charitable Foundation. But you a big driver? I hear we're going to have a driving contest right out here.
Now, do you guys participate in that?
I don't know if they'll let me in. If they will, I'll try to do my best.
Because we might hang around and broadcast that.
I can hit the ball a little bit.
How far?
I can hit it a little bit. I don't know. I think it's well over 200 yards.
Yeah.
Jeez. I'm thinking you're over 300 yards.
Well, every now and then I catch one. If it catches the slope the right way and it runs a little bit, I might be able to get a little distance on
it's
it.
Uphill here.
Uphill. It's a tough hill to drive. Now you got
that is a tough driving hole.
Yeah.
I get very overwhelmed by uphill.
Uphill. Have you got a chance to play a lot of golf with the current players?
You guys, I've played a little bit. I played with Tom a little bit. I played with Teddy Bruschi. That's pretty much it. So many new faces now that I haven't been able to convince those guys to go out with me. I think they're afraid of losing a little bit of lunch money. So I don't know what I got to do. I maybe push my handicap up or something or down and convince those guys to play. But
how's Teddy's game?
Teddy got a good game. Teddy's consistent. He's steady. Competitive, of course, just like he is on the field, he's on the golf course. Brady's smooth. He's masquerading as a seven, but deep down inside, he really is about a five handicap.
Well, he's playing with presidents, so he's used to playing with Bush and Clinton.
Well, you know, he told me he shot a 75. So I'm hoping to catch him on one of those good days because he definitely is going to have to give me a few strokes. And I'll surely take advantage of my strokes.
Now, how does this work with you? Who do you play with? Do you know yet, that yet?
I don't know. In years past, I've played with some of the guys from Foxwoods Casino. I don't know if I'll be playing with those guys again this year. We've had a stranglehold on that championship for a while around here. A lot of people don't realize that, but
we won it last year as well.
We did not win it last year. That was the first time in a long time.
A new stranglehold then.
So it's a new stranglehold. We were very disappointed last year, but we're going to do our best to see if we can get back in that winner's circle. If I'm playing with those guys, I don't know yet.
Well, you're going to win no matter who you're playing with, right?
I would hope so, because I would just hope that everyone is into trying to do their best, and we're not here to have fun. We're here to win this thing, win it all.
Do you emphasize that when you get your group kind of
experiment? Absolutely.
This is to win.
I said we're here to win it. We're not here.
In this group, I'd be,
I couldn't even hit
the ball.
Crapping
my pants standing over a 5-foot putt.
Yeah, don't stare at anybody when they're driving.
I'm trying not to, but we definitely are in it to do something special. It's going to be a little different. I don't know what the format is today, but I've heard through the grapevine that the format may be a little different, so it's going to really test you right off the mark. You're not going to have time to warm up. You're going to have to be hot right off the first
game. I heard that as well.
So, look out.
Well, we got to let you go get prepared for that, and we appreciate you stopping by, as always. This is not quite as entertaining as your normal visits with us up in the office.
Yeah.
With the microphones here, I would imagine.
Absolutely.
Pitcher's Talk on Radio is worldwide, so.
It's awesome to see you guys again.
I forget the coach's name.
Frank Verducci.
Frank Verducci.
And my hero.
Those are my favorite
stories.
You're no Prentice Walker.
You're no Prentice Walker. I love it. You guys, thank you.
Thank you, Patriots Hall of Famer, and hopefully soon to be NFL Hall of Famer. I'm still working on that, by the way. Like I have a say in it.
But no matter what, he'll never be Prentice Walker. How do you think that makes Prentice Walker feel? He probably tells stories in a bar somewhere. You know that Tippett, 100 sacks and all. He's no Prentice Walker.
Coach used to say he wasn't as good as me.
I wonder how long it was before that coach was fired.
Oh, no,
he's still a legend in the New York City circles, yeah.
He was was there long enough to run Tip's brothers out of the off the team.
Yeah, that's true.
Am I sharing too much info here?
Yeah, that's true. Well, players continue to mill around. A lot of activity on that putting green, Andy. I want to get down and participate in that.
Is that Seymour?
Seymour down there? I don't know, Tom. If you want to jump down there and
Richard
talk Seymour, to anybody.
Tom, if you'd like to go grab a sound bite for your update.
So Tom will effort that.
Just make sure when I look down, you're not, like, hands in your pocket staring off into the sunset.
See if you can get us a little more flavor of what's going on.
Uh-oh.
As Andy and I will...
I think we got a guy who's going to call Paul fat.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Yes, indeed. Rodney Harrison joining us. For the
R-H-37.
Year, I believe.
It wasn't voluntary.
It wasn't voluntary. Well, Gary, you made him come.
Wow. How did you make him come?
What's up, Paul Perillo?
How are you, my man?
How are you doing, Roddy?
I'm doing fine.
Do you know Tom Casale?
No,
Tom is our newest member.
How you doing, Tom?
Yeah. How
you doing? So you're a troublemaker like
this? I was going to say, you could blame it on him. It was his first game.
No, he's more
Pittsburgh
of a
game was his first game with us.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, good to
have
you aboard.
He has a little bit of bad luck.
Where are you from?
Upstate New York.
Upstate New York? So previously you were probably a Jets fan.
No, I hate all New York.
He's kind of a contrarian. He hates more than he likes.
Yeah, we define him more by what he doesn't like than what he does like. But he's a Patriots fan, as we all are.
Good man.
And I think fans are going to be very excited to see you here and participating in the golf tournament. Not that that means a thing, but how are you feeling?
Feel good. Rehab's going great. Working hard. Feeling good to be 33-year-old man. I'm doing just fine. I'm excited today.
All right. Obviously, we know that you're not going to share too much with you about the rehab, but would you say it's progressing on schedule, behind schedule, ahead of schedule? And we'll leave it at that.
Uh-oh. Schedules, timetables.
Yeah. I mean,
you feeling good with it?
With an injury like this, it's kind of tough to tell, but everything that they've asked me to do, I've been able to do, plus a little bit more. So if you want to consider that being ahead of schedule, then maybe it is.
Excellent. How about the golf game?
Yep. Golf game's coming around.
How much is this rehab cutting for the golf game? I got a lot.
Well, it's very disappointing. That's what I'm really, really disappointed about. I can't golf as much, but actually I've been getting out 3 days a week, and I've been just putting just tremendous butt whoopings on Teddy Bruschi.
And we heard Bruschi's pretty solid.
Andre Tippett just told us he's a good grinder. Yeah, he's very consistent.
He's not long off the tee.
Very competitive.
Yeah, he's... He's a decent player. I beat him like 10 games to 1, so.
So you are long off the tee?
Oh, yeah. I'll definitely win the long ball drive today.
I understand. That's going to take place first right out here, 12:30 or something.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited about that.
Instead of you being able to lie to us about it, we're actually going
to
broadcast.
Watch where the ball ends up.
Good. Now you're putting a little pressure on me. And
it's uphill. A little extra pressure there. It's uphill. You got to get under
it. We've already got two guarantees, Colvin and Harrison, both guaranteeing they're going to win the
long
ball.
Plus Tippett is guaranteed that he'll win.
Colvin is terrible. Roosevelt?
He says he's better than who do you say he's better than Corey and Hochstein.
Gene Merchkowski and Hochstein.
Let me tell you what Corey does. Corey aims at the street.
That's what I do.
Slices all the way in into
that's,
the fairway.
That's what I do.
He used three clubs. He used a putter, a pitching wedge, and like a hybrid.
He's carrying around three clubs right now.
Where is it?
He's terrible. What do you think? He's doing TV interviews. What do you think he's doing?
Yeah, he's terrible. So what's up, guys? What are you guys up to? You play a little golf or what?
Very
I play a little. I'm mostly a tournament player now, though.
Is that right?
I get a chance to go out and play.
Paul's kind of a celebrity, so he does a lot of those.
Yeah. Is it the wife or is it Felger keeping you down?
Felger's keeping me down. What are you going to do? Yeah, this is too much. You know, I got the little guy like yours, you know. My little man's not that much younger than your little man.
Yeah, they're tough. A lot of times.
Keeps me busy.
Yeah.
And when I'm home, I don't really want to be going out golfing for 4 hours and not spending time with him.
Well, I put mine in school. He needs to be in school. He's so active. He needs to be around other kids. You have any kids?
No, not yet.
How old are you?
28.
Yeah, you need to wait. You need to wait.
It's not my wife thing. She's
Oh, you're married?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's ready there.
She's tick, tick, ticking. She's ready to go.
Okay.
Yeah, and Tom's engaged, so it's only a matter of time for him, too.
Oh, man. Crucifixion right there, boy. Good luck.
So what do you expect out of this camp? I mean, obviously a lot of new rookies. There's a lot of veterans gone. This is kind of a first look as a team. You know, what do you expect and what can we expect?
Well, really, this is a great time and opportunity for all of the veterans as well as the rookies to come together and really start getting familiar with one another, fitting in the offense, the defense, the special teams, and guys just being able to see if guys can play. You can't ultimately tell if a guy can play until you put those pads on. But I think from a coach's standpoint, you can implement the game plan, the different defenses, the different sets and schemes, and really let them know exactly what you're going to do. But for me, I'm just going to continue on pace with rehab and just, you know, talk smack to the rookies like I always do and see what happens.
How do the players treat the offseason in terms of, like, the draft and free agent? I mean, do you guys follow that and watch, say, hey, we just signed someone, or, wow, we took two or three offensive guys at the top? Do you guys look at that and
I think most players look at the draft because you never know how it relates to their position. If you're a defensive lineman and they draft someone in the first round, then you might be looking at over your shoulder saying, you know what, is this a sign to me? But for the most part, I look at the draft as an opportunity for us to get better. And you look at a guy like Lawrence Maroney as well as Chad Jackson, and you say, we need these guys to come in and contribute right away, and we need these guys because they're going to be a definite part of our team. So we'll see what happens.
Well, Rodney, the last time we talked, you said that your wife couldn't wait to get you out of the house. How's she feeling now? She happier now that you're not on the couch yelling and screaming at the TV?
Well, of course, she's happy. It was a tough injury, but I can definitely say, my wife was, you know, one of the mainstays right there, supporting me, taking good care of me, and making sure that, you know, my positive energy stayed up.
Before we let you go, you didn't want to break any news on your rehab, but how about your old buddy Ty Law? Is he going to be rejoining in the secondary?
My hairstylist tells we have the same hairstylist, and she says that you and Ty Law have been seen there together within recent months. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, but even if Ty doesn't play, we're still going to hang out. That's still my boy, but hopefully the Patriots and Ty can come to an agreement that's fair, and that's fair to us as well as fair to Ty. And we need a guy like that. He's an all-pro, and he's the best in the game.
All right, Rodney, we appreciate
you
taking time.
Thanks for having me once again.
Thank you, man.
Thank you. Have a
luck.
You too, big man. Good to have you along. Take care.
Thanks a lot.
Go take another title.
Exactly.
Rodney Harrison, looking great. Going to participate in the tournament, and we'll see him at minicamp as well. Not sure exactly what he'll be doing at minicamp, but I'm sure that'll be a topic that all of our listeners and Patriots fans will be interested in.
I just got to say, Gary Gordecki deserves props. He's done a fine job so
incredible
far.
Incredible
job. Boom, boom.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I thought Rodney would be a tough get.
He didn't want to come.
Save that one, Renee. No, I thought Rodney would be a tough get today. I thought, you know, for obvious reasons.
I haven't seen him address the media.
For obvious reasons, I didn't think he would probably want to deal with the questions, about his knee and.
He didn't want to get too detailed, but he said he's done more than he's been asked to do when they've asked him to do it. That's a good sign.
Yeah, that's clearly
not a bad sign. I mean,
he's certainly moving around well, and we've talked about this a lot off the air. That doesn't, you know, necessarily mean he's ready to play football or anything like that, but it's good to see Rodney bouncing around and acting like his old self.
It'll be interesting to see if he does anything this week, if he's on the sideline, whatever, just because, you know, comparison purposes, a lot of people are comparing he and Dante Culpepper. And Dante Culpepper, while limited, limping, whatever, was on the field taking some snaps, doing some 5-7 foot drops. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, if Rodney's out there at all. I kind of doubt it.
Yeah, I would doubt it too.
But it'll be interesting just for comparison purposes.
Yeah, and continuing on that line, Culpepper's was even at least a month or so later, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was
end of October.
Yeah. So,
but I personally believe, just in looking at Rodney and him saying he's a little bit ahead every time of what they want him to do, he could do what Dante Culpepper did on the field.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I think so.
No, I just don't know that Bill Belichick wants him out there for any reason. I don't know how much you gain from it. Whereas maybe you do gain a little bit having a quarterback out there, just his voice calling out the snap count.
He's actually running through the play.
Plus,
he needs to learn. He's learning a system.
Right? You got to throw the football.
Yes. I mean, it's a little different for a defensive back. They know what Rodney can do. He
knows
the system,
right?
I mean, the only change would be, like we talked about with Rosie, there's a new coordinator, but. Mm. You know, other than that, he pretty much can run the show.
He's pretty smart.
Up
he can pick things up pretty
and
quickly.
And even if he's wrong, everybody else is going to do what he tells them to do anyway. So there's going to be a one continuous page out there, right or wrong. It's Rodney's page.
Right.
So.
And apparently he's going to win the long drive contest. It should be interesting.
See, I love the cockiness, though, because this year we can actually watch it. It's right here on this poll.
You know what I love? How everyone else stinks.
Right.
Oh, he's terrible.
Right. It's funny, that's not possible.
see Rodney now,
Brady stinks.
You see Rodney now doing a little bit of heckling around Brady. Large media contingent is starting to partially disperse now from Brady. And
not
going
too
over,
many people can get the media to leave Tom Brady.
Going over to Rodney. So, Yeah, no, I think it is funny, though, Tom. Almost every player, oh, so-and-so, he stinks. He
although
can't
both
play.
Did say Corey Dillon has a wicked slice, so.
Yeah, that seems to be, but I do that, too.
Well, that's what
I open up and
I aim straight. I aim almost straight left and let it play back in for
and
me.
And the one time where you hit it straight and crush it into the woods.
Right.
Happens to me.
What are you going to do?
But, yeah, see ya.
Right, so,
Harrison.
So we'll see if Gary can hook us up with another guest.
I think Harrison, though, is interesting, though, in terms of the football player that he is on the field and how he is off the field.
Oh,
you know, that's
he has a switch.
Tom,
right.
I told the story. I'm not sure if I've ever talked about it with you, but when he played for San Diego, I absolutely despised Rodney Harrison. I there wasn't a guy I thought that any less of in the league. And when they got him, you know, I had talked to a writer in San Diego, a guy named Jim Trotter, who writes for the San Diego Union News or Tribune.
Tribune, I believe.
Union Tribune. And he told me, you're never going to meet a better guy. This guy is just, he couldn't say enough glowing things about him. So I was anxious to meet him, and I did. And basically the second time I spoke to him, he called me at home to do a feature story on him. And
They've been together ever since.
Yeah, and he's been my favorite Patriot ever since. It was
really nice guy.
But I mean, it's obvious he meets you for the first time. Where are you from? But you know, any of the guys that open up a two-way street and do a little question asking of their own, it's like Rosie says, you're not ripping Rodney Harrison in the paper anytime soon.
It's the good
world. You know what? It's refreshing to see these guys get paid a lot of money. You know what I mean? You don't have to be in a bad mood all the time.
I don't know. According to Rosie, things are tight.
He's a million. Don't go. He's 2 weeks away from signing up for food stamps.
Jeez.
I'll tell you, the food's starting to get to me a little bit, Andy.
Yeah. Well, we're engulfed in smoke from the ribs and the burgers.
It's just unbelievable, the spread they have
the
here
worst part
in
is
Belmont
we don't
every
get
year.
That spread.
No.
There's a PFW spread in some
corner. No, we don't get that.
We get like
essentially
peanut butter and jelly.
We got that spread a couple of years ago, and then we received an email when we got back to say we're no longer allowed to do that.
You know what? That's stupid.
We can hold the fort here, by the way, if you want to run down and get Brady or either of those guys that are down there.
Brady doesn't say anything interesting.
No, that's true.
Wow.
Well, I'm just saying, he just is going to say the same things over and over again. That's why I didn't go get Seymour, because I figured Harrison would be...
Right. It's bigger news story, and Brady's a polished politician.
Yeah, he's not going to say anything that anyone really wants to hear right now.
It's true.
I'm waiting for possibly Deion Branch, if he
That'll
comes.
Be interesting. I think he will be.
I'm going to guess that he's going to be here, but that would be a guess. Obviously, I don't have any information on that. This is one of the few events that Patriots players are, it's mandatory. They're required to be here. Last year at this time, coming right off of the minicamp, Tom, Richard Seymour obviously sat out the minicamp. He was here. He was here for this tournament, and he was here for the ring ceremony.
So you would think Deion Branch would be here then?
So I think Deion will be here.
Yeah,
Even if he's not here tomorrow, I think he'll be here today.
And as Tippett said, this is one of their big fundraisers for the, you know, they use the funds gained here throughout the year.
Right.
As you see, you know, those charitable donations and all that through the Patriots Charitable Foundation. So this and the kickoff gala are real big fundraisers for them.
And when's the kickoff? Is that right before
the season?
That's
right before the season.
Yeah.
It's like it's the Tuesday night before the season.
It's a big, fancy gala. Chris Berman usually hosts.
Oh.
We don't have to go to that.
We don't have to go, but it's a sit-down. It's at the club. There's an auction.
Oh, people like Fred go?
Fred has gone in the past, but not always.
That's a big time. You know, the Boston business.
Right.
Man, all the people with money, not us.
Yeah, that's not for the plebs.
We go home and watch whatever's on TV Tuesday night. But
so
the weather, well, I mean, Tip's right.
This is a beautiful day.
It's raining for 2 months.
You know, it's funny because, you know, we're making fun of, I told you, I basically only play in tournaments now. And the tournament that I played in most recently was the Northeastern one, which was in the middle of May. It was the same thing. It was like two straight weeks of rain, and all of a sudden, a beautiful sunny day in the middle of it, followed by another 2 weeks of rain. It was just, you know.
I'm actually surprised Rosie came out. He could have cut the lawn today after all that rain.
Ooh, I had to cut mine last night. Boy, was it long.
Did you cut it, Lil?
Last night.
I let mine go. I gotta do it tomorrow night. I got tied up painting a little bit, and it took me longer than I thought.
You can do yours after work. I got to dedicate like 4.5 hours to mine.
No, I know that, but it's hard to do it after work.
And all of a sudden, I got 2-3 nights of it.
Because usually we're trying to put the little guy to bed, and then the lawnmower just wakes him up. It's tough being me.
Not sure Gary's getting us any more players. He's kind of standing in the middle of the...
Yeah, now he's...
Although he could be on the outer fringes of trying to acquire Teddy Bruschi for our guest.
That'd be interesting to get Teddy Bruschi.
Maybe.
We can ask him all kinds of...
I've never spoken to Bruschi in my life.
We can ask Teddy all kind of detailed questions about, you know, 3-4 or 4-3 or who's going to... I'm sure we'll get a lot of good answers.
Good luck with that.
Teddy might be the most skilled at avoiding the questions in the manner that Bill Belichick would do it. Teddy has been around and he knows what he's doing. No interest?
I don't know. He's going down the ramp.
I just said hi to him. We didn't even ask him.
I did see Seymour walk up the hill a while ago. I was hoping that maybe we would get Richard
Seymour. Seymour was down there when I was leaving, when Rodney was coming up.
All the guys are around. They have a lot more dead time this year because of the
Where's your boy, Vrabel? He looks like a golfer.
I don't think he's much of a golfer.
I don't know how good he is.
Someone that would tell you that he's good.
Oh, I'm sure he is.
I'm sure he would tell you that he's good. I'm not sure how good he is. And you know what? I don't really remember seeing him around a lot. At this event,
he could be. Some of the
he must be a late arrival.
And just a lot of the guys don't really. They take care of their duties in terms of showing up,
right.
And, you know, working with the people who paid a lot of money to come,
right.
But a lot of them aren't all that interested in actually hitting the ball. And
Rosie isn't one of those people.
No,
he wants to win.
See, there's two kinds of people. There's people that stink and are worried they're going to embarrass themselves.
Right.
Or people that stink and don't care and think they're good. It's like that blinded.
Yeah.
And I think Rosie's in that category. Because I know for a fact that Rosie and I shoot similar scores.
Yeah, I don't think Rosie's on that
thing. Well, and his are in triple digits. And anytime you're in triple digits,
right.
You stink.
Right.
I think what Rosie does is he plays in a regular group of guys that are just worse
right.
than he
right.
is.
It's like
and
when I was in middle school playing pick-up basketball. As long as everybody else is worse than me, I'm good.
Well, according to Tip, it's a moot point anyway because he has a stranglehold on the title.
Yeah, but
he knows he's
a stranglehold, yeah.
It's kind of a loose stranglehold.
Yeah, I guess.
Just move it over. We'll have to move over the chair if we get another one.
Yeah, I can move over.
So, I'm not exactly sure what we should talk about at this point.
The news.
The news is basically minicamp starts tomorrow. We will have, just for logistical purposes, Patriots.com, PBN, Patriots Today, we'll all have you covered. There will be practices on Tuesday and Wednesday, both in the morning and the afternoon, and then again on Thursday, just in the morning. We'll have updates on the website. Tom, Andy, and I will all handle those. And we'll have Bill Belichick's press conferences live, which will be in between the practice sessions on the first 2 days. On the field, not sure if we'll be able to get that right on the website live. That might be something we'll have to record it, because you won't be able to put that up live.
It won't be live, but it'll be up pretty quickly thereafter.
And the players will be available as they are in training camp coming off the field, so we'll hopefully get some interesting stories
on the website in the next 3 days.
Yeah, and I'm sure that we're going to have a lot to talk about. And, you know, the beginning of the show, I know that we're going to talk about, you know, what we do on Wednesday for the regular part of the PFW in Progress. We'll have a lot to do with the minicamp as it's unfolding.
The swarm of media in attendance has really grown.
Yeah, there's a lot of media.
Is it usually this big? Because I don't usually remember this many people here.
I'm not sure.
I mean, it's always the Boston TV, but I see a wide variety of print and television.
Well, I see Bears down there. You think he might be able to get us, Bill?
He could. I don't think he will.
How do you know if you don't ask?
Does Bill play in this, Paul?
Bill plays, yes.
Pretty much every golf game.
I don't know exactly how good he is, but I know he plays often enough and at nice enough places to assume that he's pretty good.
The guy's secretive enough that we can't even assume that he's how his golf game is.
I've never seen him take a swing. Usually the first hole that we get to see is Mr. Kraft's group.
Right.
And he usually has at least one of his sons is in his group.
Now, Mr. Kraft's got to be a great golfer.
He's a little up there in age now.
He's in attendance. I just saw him walk by, so.
Mr. Kraft is?
Kraft is in the house. Dan Kraft is in the house. There is quite a bit of commotion, people mingling around the...
Well, the music is starting to... I feel like we're on one of those on-location events, and you can't hear anything that people are talking about.
Right.
That could very well be. The only thing we're lacking right now is a producer, Gary Gradecki.
Yeah. Evidently,
we sure
checked out.
I think he got a better offer somewhere else. Is EEI broadcasting from here?
That's possible.
Because we know that Gary, like Fred, often big times people.
Right.
weighs his options in front of him and picks the best one.
For those listening, it doesn't get any more small time than myself and Andy Hart.
That's true.
We're small time. Sorry, it's Paul. You're on TV every time I look. I can't put you in our group.
It might be small time.
Because you've outgrown us.
Every time I flip through the stations, I see his face. So.
First of all, you say that with such disdain, like there's better things to look at.
No, I'm just saying. You're not. My point is that you're not a loser like us. That's a compliment.
It is what it is. Yeah.
You know, it was magic. I went to college, you know, 24 years later, boom, I got on TV.
I mean, it's
a storybook career.
In a couple of years, you'll be out there potting with the rest of them.
Not me, my friend. Not me. Wow. We're going to need Gary Gernicki to get us someone here in a hurry.
I don't even know where Gary is.
No, I've lost him.
You know what else, Andy? I haven't seen one of those truly magical golf attires.
Right, that's what I was going to ask you. Does anybody wear any...
Every year we get at least one or two that stand out.
I know Copen was making fun of Lonnie Paxton because he just said he doesn't know how to golf, doesn't know how to dress to come to play golf. And he just said, you know, he's from California. Kind of, Lonnie's in his own world.
That's true.
Lonnie does kind of just have one outfit that he wears. You know, he could be at the beach or at a black tie event, and he's wearing it. Which, again, I have no problem with. Enjoy your life.
Right.
Usually the hats, too. You get a lot of hats at these events.
I think Rosie is the most decked out of anybody we've seen so far with his little...
Well, he did say he looks like $1 million.
Yeah.
And he did say that.
He did say that.
It's true. It's because he saved up his money to look that way.
From cutting his own bushes and mowing his own lawn.
Well, we're going to have to look around for some more flavor here for the golf tournament.
You know one thing about Rosie, though? I bet you his kids will be brought up right.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, Rosie's solid.
Yeah. They will have manners. They will know what they're doing.
They won't be
spoiled.
Well,
we already know they're going to work hard. They're not going to be spoiled. They're going to be mowing the lawn the second they can push that lawnmower.
We already know that. They're lucky they get two presents at Christmas.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting that you made that point. Tabucky Jones, who was up here behind me a little while ago, I don't know if he's still there, but...
Yep.
There was a story in ESPN, the magazine, about him when he was with Miami. I think it was might have been last year around this time. And he thought his kids were growing up too soft. You know, and obviously he had made a lot of money in his football career. And they didn't have any struggles growing up. He thought they were too soft. And what he did was he took them back to his old neighborhood where he grew up in New Britain, Connecticut. He dropped them off at a Boys and Girls Club there and left them. And it's, you know, an inner city, tough place. And he did it, you're familiar with the story, I want to say he did it like every weekend for like a month or so to try to get him to understand that this is not something that's just born right.
Right.
It's something that you, it's a privilege, it's an honor, it's something that you get, but it's not a God-given right. And I think that he felt like his kids were growing up a little soft. And I think in terms of Rosie's kids, I don't think they'll have that problem because of the same thing, same kind of grounded outlook.
Yeah. By the way, I've located Gary. He's BSing with Vrabel.
What's
maybe he's efforting to get Mike Vrabel on our program. I don't know. Or maybe he's just wasting his time and ours. Good thing he doesn't have the soundboard with us. We might get circus music.
Should we ask for it?
No. No, we should not, Paul. He's on smoothly so far. Let's continue.
Make for interesting radio.
Yeah, it might.
Might not?
Might not.
Tell me? All right.
Yeah, I'm scared.
I'll be good.
I say we just continue on with our mindless banter.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are making fun of me for talking too much, but no one's saying anything else.
Oh, what do you want me to talk about? We're in a golf tournament.
Anything right now would suffice.
Well, is that
Red Sox stunk it up last night.
How about Keith Folk?
No one coming up right now. I think everyone's pretty much here.
Most people have arrived.
That's why, and I just think there's more people that were here. Maybe we got here later this year than we normally do.
I'm also wondering, it didn't seem like all the players mulled around like this in the past. Like they disappeared to a
Well, didn't
VIP
you say
area.
It's starting later this year?
Yeah.
It is. Yes,
maybe
it is.
Maybe there's some more time.
So, and as I said earlier, I am interested in watching this longest drive contest because...
It's just, I mean, I know you guys have been here before. But this is so weird for me, for the fans out there. We're just like sitting in the middle, all the Patriot players just talking on the radio. But it's just weird because you see these guys on TV and now all of a sudden you're just sitting around them.
Yeah, here's where you cheese all the criticism.
Yeah. is where we turn into Tom Casale. Everything's great. Everybody's a pro bowler.
It's just interesting. I've never done it before.
I'm just kidding.
And with Bill Belichick to call the shots. And Brady to throw the football.
Are you guys disputing that Belichick and Brady are the two best at what they do? I don't think the fans would like that.
No, I'm not saying that.
I'm not saying anything at this time.
Hey, I just tell it like it is.
Yeah, except now. I could ask you some questions that you wouldn't answer like you normally would.
Not right now.
Evidently, Gary didn't get us anybody.
He may have gotten his hands open.
Bilo is down there talking with Dan Pyers. I hope he's not giving him his social security.
You got anything for us?
That's what I mean. Dan Pyers is here. You know it's a large media contingent when Dan Pyers is in the house. So it looks like Dan Copen is about to join us.
All right, the boys are here. PFW in progress. Andy Hart, Tom Casale, Paul Perillo, and Lloyd Baranski. So not just the boys.
Thank you.
Everyone's here. We will get back to the golf tournament.
Fred's not here.
Yeah, you know, when was the last time Fred was here? So.
Well, they said he's on vacation. Either that or Corey Dillon ate him.
Exactly.
We're not quite sure.
Exactly. As you can tell, minicamp is underway, and Tom's got a toss ball.
Tom's tune really changes when Corey Dillon's not sitting next to him.
Yeah, because Corey Dillon's the one guy who'll give you a smack. He doesn't care.
Right, absolutely. And we were definitely keeping it on the down low when Corey Dillon was sitting right behind Tom and I.
I'm not tough enough to pretend I can take Corey Dillon in a fight, that's for sure.
Right, nor am I. And we will get back to some of the interviews that we did on Monday at the Patriots Charitable Foundation Golf Tournament. We had Dan Copen, as you know, was on the way to our table, and we spoke with Dan and a few other emails, so you can check back at the end of this show. We'll talk a little bit about minicamp now, however, and overall impressions, thoughts. We had two practices yesterday and a morning session today followed by Bill Belichick's press conference, which also was just available on Patriots.com. Just overall thoughts from you guys.
I think the Patriots have one great running back and one dud running back, and I'll give you a guess on which those are. I thought Lawrence Maroney is one of the most impressive players out there. I think he catches the ball well. I like his acceleration, his cuts. I just think he's going to be a phenomenal player in this system. And then Dillon, I counted today, all the backs ran to where they were supposed to be, and it took Dillon 28 seconds to get to the to get where he was supposed to be.
That's the kind of insight you can't just get anywhere. You can only get that on Patriots.com. Tom Casale's got an agenda.
Because while they were running to where they were supposed to be, Dillon, you know, the leader of the group, had his helmet off. He was walking slowly, and he's been doing it for the past 2 days. Plus, he's fat.
Andy, any first impressions?
My impressions would be the same as what they usually are at a mini camp like this or the beginning of training camp. A lot of different mixes out there, different guys going in and out. On the offensive line, Wesley Britt in with the group that'll probably be known as the starters when we're allowed to deem a team starters once the regular season comes around.
Oh, I was going to say, is Belichick resigning? Because
wide receiver, some interesting bodies going through there. John Stone getting some run with the quote-unquote first team and catching passes from Brady. Along with Childress, the secondary, Eugene Wilson not taking a lot of reps, but a lot of other guys are taking reps.
Including
Tom's boy, James Sanders, getting some reps. Ellis Hobbs and Samuel
Gus
Moore
Scott.
Today.
Gus Scott in the mix as a nickel kind of
The linebacker, Monty Beisel, playing a lot of inside linebacker with Vrabel moving to the outside. So some of the questions we had coming into the camp are starting to be answered maybe just a little bit, even though it is just a mini camp, and despite what Tom says, I'm not yet ready to label Lawrence Maroney great until I actually see him with pads on.
No, that's true.
And pads on.
Flag football, I'll take him.
Well, I already know he has vision because I've watched him play. So now
everything you do in college guarantees you'll do it at the pro.
No, I'm saying he has good vision. That's one thing I knew that he had. And
just
now
not label him great till I see him in a contact drill.
He'll be starting after four games. Well, who's the guy I got to send the T-shirt and hat to?
It's funny that you say that, Tom, because that's our leadoff email. And, again, the PFW in progress, the live portion of the show is ongoing. So please send those emails in, webradio@patriots.com. Again, it's webradio@patriots.com. And before we get to Lori, and I want to talk about the photo shoot that you have returned from, but I do want to read this one email.
You can join Dick for a little while.
I told you I could make four promises. Anyway, Steve Reed checking in, and we all remember Tom last week.
The guy, Steve.
I believe that's who the email is from. So I'll go to the when I get to the bottom. Maybe it'll be from someone different. But
I really enjoyed last week's show. It's not every day you get a promise on air for a new T-shirt and hat. Wow. Thanks, Tom. I'll put my order in now for a triple XL T-shirt.
Whoa. Steve's a biggin.
Evidently, he eats with Andy.
Yep. And Corey.
his Corey Dillon fat jokes never get
old.
He has
to make up for everything he didn't say when Corey was sitting next to him.
And I won't say, because he's the one person who'll punch me.
Steve says, I'll that triple XL because I am bigger than Jonathan Sullivan. Corey Dillon's going to update my wardrobe considerably. Hey, if he gets more than 1,300 yards, maybe you could upgrade it to a sweatshirt, Tom.
No, I forgot the bet. Can you remind us? I'm upgrading it right now. If he gets over 1,000, you get a replica Corey Dillon jersey on the house, and I'll actually have him try to autograph it. Good luck with that.
It is Steve, and he's the one from
You know how he responds to those requests, so like he did yesterday. Bleep them.
This has been upgraded to official Patriots replica Corey Dillon jersey if he goes over 1,000 yards this year.
It's amazing. They still have some of those, huh?
They do.
Why don't you go authentic?
Nah, I'm not going authentic. I got a wedding to save for.
I'm gonna who?
All right, so Steve's email continues. Now for a football question. Last week you guys said Daniel Graham is probably in his last year as a Patriot and that the draft proves that he is probably gone. Just as a clarification, I think we think that he might be in the last year as a Patriot, but not because of the draft. Because for me, I don't feel like Daniel Graham wants to stay here. And Lori brings up
Lori chiming in with some news.
Hey, who knew?
Absolutely.
You have sources telling you?
Maybe. Who knows? Maybe I'm doing my research. Hello.
Wow.
That'd
be a first.
I am close to Patriots today.
That would be a first.
The face.
I don't. That trade that's been floating around makes no sense at all. So I would say no.
And it's been floating around for a while now and hasn't really come to fruition.
Well,
Have you seen him?
We'll get to that.
Yes.
Yes, I saw it. We actually walked out.
He is not practicing, but he is here.
Because I didn't see him practicing.
Right.
And I just feel that he doesn't want to be here long term. Right. That's why I feel this is his last year as a Patriot, not because they drafted a tight end or whatever. I just think that he would rather go somewhere where he can be more of a
tight end
factor
than a tackle.
More of a factor in the passing game. But anyway, Steve disagrees. Look at the roster. Watson is not a great blocker, and as you pointed out, you wouldn't want him to force him into that role and diminish what he does best anyway. David Thomas from Texas is also a receiver first, blocker second, who really is unproven at this level. I don't recall seeing any pre-draft reports that extolled his blocking, and at 6'3", 246, he doesn't seem a candidate for that. I would agree with that. Finally, Garrett Mills is not a tight end. He'll be an H-back fullback in the NFL. He's only 6'1". And around 235, I think he was drafted to challenge Patrick Pass. So why would you let Daniel Graham go? Who is your best blocking tight end? I can't see him asking for premier money next year, so he should be signable. Of course, if he does go, we can always play Vrabel there. One final question. Who would you recommend the Pats bring in for a veteran backup quarterback? I like Castle and what he showed last year, but I think he is not ready to be anointed with the number two quarterback position based on one game against Miami. What quarterback would be a good fit for the Patriots' style of offense?
Well, getting back to the blocking tight end, in all honesty, those guys grow on trees.
Right.
You can go out.
They're like fullbacks.
Yeah, you can
Jed Weaver types.
You can get a Dan Campbell anywheres every season. So if they do let Graham go, they don't have to replace him with a Daniel Graham. They have three receiving tight ends. They can just go out and sign a low-money veteran to be the blocker.
Right. They've done it. Fred Baxter, they just bring in guys. He's a coach now. But
Fred Baxter here working with
guy
tight ends.
That's a perfect
just
example.
Just bring in. He's available. You know, Fred Baxter, I think they signed in December when he helped them out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those guys are available. And those are usually the guys that kind of take the road that Daniel Graham had. Either, you know, they were supposed to be kind of all-purpose tight ends, and they kind of fall by the wayside and end up just being blocking guys.
And I agree with both of you guys. And it's not just, first of all, we may not be right. I mean,
right.
Graham could be re-signed tomorrow into an extension.
Who knows? Agree with your point that he didn't come here to be a blocking tight end.
I don't think
think he
that's
wants to
my
be in the passing game more.
And he has never said that to me directly, but I don't think that he's overly happy here.
Right.
I don't think he's overly happy being, as Andy called, the third tackle.
I mean, you look at those old clips when he was at Colorado. He was a rumbling playmaker.
He was a wrecking crew.
You can't just take that away from somebody. I don't care if you jump a level. You can't just be happy to lose that. I mean, he was a guy that had the ball in his hands, was a key factor, made plays, and he's not that anymore. Now, I don't necessarily fault the Patriots. I don't think they forced him into that role. I think he kind of let himself into that role by not being the playmaker he was at Colorado when they needed him to be that early on in his career here.
All right, Lori.
Hello.
The host of Patriots Today, right?
I am.
What'd you call it? The face?
The face.
The face of Patriots Today.
That too.
All right. So how did it go?
Good.
at the calendar shoot down at, was it Sanibel?
In Fort Myers, around there. Okay. Yep. It was awesome.
Oh, hot. Awesome. That's it.
It was awesome. We had great weather all week while you guys were here in the rain. All the shoots went well. All the rookies were excited to see their pictures and be in a calendar. So that was
the rookies, that cracks me up.
Why does that crack you up?
Because I thought for a second you took the rookie draft picks with you. Then I meant, oh, no, you're talking about rookie cheerleaders.
I don't know anything about cheerleaders.
Because to me, the rookies are Lawrence Maroney, Chad Jackson, Dave Thomas.
Good in the bathing suit.
Easy. Easy, creep. Sheesh.
What?
That's totally uncalled for, I think, that kind of
talk. Whoa. I'm uncalled for?
Yeah.
I need you to join Dick for a little while.
These guys are not pieces of meat to be ogled at.
Exactly.
Anyway, so the rookies were really excited to be in the calendar. And we had a good time. This was our first trip this season. We've only been on the team for like a month, so that was cool to bond like that.
How many new?
12.
12. So half the team is new?
Yes.
Wow. Look at Andy knowing that there's 24 members of the squad.
How many girls on the team would you say have fake breasts?
Bob is probably not pulling any punches.
59.
Can we edit that part out?
There's some, right?
Can we edit that part out?
There's none?
No comment. I'm not commenting on that.
Not on the air, anyway.
I'm not commenting. Why? What relevance is that?
That might be lunchtime.
Highly relevant.
It isn't relevant. It's not relevant.
It is. But anyway, we'll move on.
No.
When does the calendar come out?
Hopefully mid-August.
Hopefully?
Preseason. Well, you never know. It depends on how long it takes to...
And it's a 16-month calendar, so it starts in August?
Nope. Now it's still a 12-month. It's reversible. So you can pick which girl you want to look at each month.
Huh?
Each month.
Huh? You can we're going to have to get into a little more depth here, because I don't know what you're talking about.
It's 12 months.
It's 12 months. It's two girls for each month. So you can flip it over and look at whichever one you want.
That ain't right. So there's some girls that are going to be in it, but because they're not as hot as the other girl in that month, they'll never be seen?
Maybe someone will switch it mid-month.
Maybe someone won't be able to make a decision.
So there's like the Dan Klecko of the cheerleading squad, never going to be seen because they're going to choose the other one.
You know,
I'm tying it together here.
It doesn't matter. Everyone gets a full page, which is awesome.
So you get a full page.
Right.
Who's the cover girl? Do you know that yet, or is that still up in the air?
Don't know.
Do you get a bonus for the cover?
No.
Oh, okay.
Do you get anything for, you know, a little something for the effort?
Right.
No.
It's your face that's selling that thing. How much do they cost, and where are they available?
I'm a little
you probably should give the details of that, you know, where they're available, how much.
You can buy it online at Pro Shop.
Yeah, Pro Shop.
Patriots Pro Shop?
PatriotsProShop.com.
So they start in January, even though they're available in August.
Right.
Okay, so you have plenty of time. Good Christmas gift as well.
Good
Christmas gift.
Very good Christmas
stocking
gift.
Stuffer. Is there a DVD?
Not this year.
Oh, okay.
Although Comcast...
There have been DVDs in the past?
So Comcast has had cameras there?
Yes. So they caught them at every shoot, all of our little volleyball games. Went to go see some dolphins. They got some of that.
Volleyball games, might as well just jump on trampolines. Was this the man show?
No, we were playing against guests. We could actually play.
What kind of mind does he have? Sturdy. Volleyball games. What is this, the man show?
Everybody else a creep, but he's
anyway.
A creep.
Oh, I know.
Oh, there's no doubt. And
so where will that air? Is that on demand or is that something?
It's on demand. I don't know when it's going to air, though.
Probably in the Patriots
section,
though.
They've been shooting it since our tryouts, so.
Oh, so they followed it from day one.
Day one.
How many people tried out this year, approximately?
I think just a little under 300.
So 300 was narrowed down to 24.
24.
And you made the cut.
I did.
You sweated out a little?
A little bit.
Are you kind of sad that this is going to be your last season?
Yeah,
though?
A little bit.
Because you're only allowed to be on for 3 years, so no matter what. You know, even if Lori goes down in the cheerleading Hall of Fame with her performance this year, this is still going to be her final season,
right.
Donning the red, white, and silver.
So in cheerleader years, you're old.
I guess.
Wow.
God.
Again,
where
does that come from?
Jeez.
Well, I'm just thinking about it. If for example, an NFL player gets to his 33, he's washed up, Ty Law can't play anymore. He's not really old, he's 33, he's in the middle and prime of his life.
Yeah, but I get to say I'm 23 and I'm retired.
So you've made enough money to retire. Interesting.
Plus, you've been calling me old man since I was 33.
As I was saying that, I was saying, you know, he's going to use this as an example where he says he's not quote-unquote old, but you're old. You're not a football player.
Not old, Paul.
Okay. Whatever.
Okay, so is that all you...
Yeah, so the calendar
do you have anything
good.
Else
can
to kind of...
Well, what's up with Patriots Today?
Patriots Today is running from yesterday, today, and tomorrow for all the mini camps.
Okay.
So, special shows. Make sure you check that out to see all the updates. That's about it.
What's the gist of the show today? Or
it's still just minicamp. We're trying to see if Deion Branch ever shows up.
I wouldn't hold your breath
still
for that.
Still on that Deion Branch watch, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're hoping.
I don't think that's happening.
Good luck with that.
What else we got?
We got Rodney Harrison at the golf tournament like you guys had.
Oh, that's true.
That was exciting.
Rodney.
That was good to see him.
Guaranteeing victory in the long drive contest and then
He's a good player, you know.
Coming to, well,
all the cheerleaders were stationed at each hole, so he actually came to our hole and I got to see him hit. He was very well. Very well golfed.
Very well
very
golfed.
Very well golfed. And there you have it. That's okay. The host in the face of Patriots today.
That's why she talks about football, not golf.
Take it easy.
All right. We'll be nice. We haven't, you know, talked about the other stuff.
So did you work hard down there?
At the golf tournament?
No.
Calendar shoot? Not really. Sure. It was actually a pretty vacation for us.
I just wanted to get you to admit that on the record on tape.
We had promotions.
You had to play volleyball. Ooh, sorry.
That was a promotion.
I know. That's why I'm saying. That's what your promotions are.
Jacked up!
Your promotions involve wearing a bikini and playing volleyball.
Yeah.
It's not a bad gig.
It's not a bad gig.
I thought it was a
and I'm sure there were some creepy guys feeding you drinks and food and anything you wanted, taking care of all your needs.
No.
That came out wrong.
There's no doubt.
That one didn't go where I wanted
to. As Maury said earlier, you do have a way with words.
I do.
There's
I'm a writer. Way with words.
However, there was some guy fishing like 10 feet away behind me while I was taking my shoot because I was in the water. That was kind of scary. The bait alone was like 5 inches long.
Not going anywhere with that one.
I'm going to leave that one alone, too.
Bush has can't see anything around you guys.
All I'm concerned with is that plaintiff Gary. Thing, you know, Baranski v. Hart Perlow.
Anyway.
We get back to minicamp topics.
We will get back to minicamp topics, but we will.
Kill you guys.
We will think. Well, the camera wasn't even on for that part, though.
And again, we said nothing.
We will think.
You have dirty minds.
Well, yeah. You know that, though. You've worked with us for how long now?
Up.
Bush has stuff that you just simply cannot teach.
Okay.
All right, but we will thank Lori for stopping by and sharing the information about the
and
upcoming
we'll
calendar for 2007.
2007, 12-month Patriots cheerleader calendar available in
starring
August.
Starring our own Lori Baranski, because she is
correct.
A star.
Well, maybe not.
Awesome.
How many other people have their own show?
But if someone that they like better goes up against her, apparently this year you have the option of flipping it over.
That's true.
Right?
You?
Well, you just said that every month you get to pick own.
Yes. Yes.
Do you know what month you were going to be on?
No. Last year I was January.
Now, is there like a...
Is there a prime? You know, you're looking like April, May, somewhere in the middle. Something to look forward to, but not, you know, all the way at the
end. You don't want February because you're only up 28 days, so it's a short
month. Looking
for
a 31. You're looking definitely a 31
day month. I want July for
month.
My birthday. What do you guys get me for my birthday?
When's your birthday?
July 3rd. You should know this.
How could you possibly not know?
We'll all be on vacation. We'll all be on vacation, thanks.
How could you possibly not know when her
birthday
is?
Thank you.
I don't know.
I gave you guys a holiday for my birthday. Hello.
Just so you know, her producer, is that your title, producer?
Sure. Yeah.
Doesn't appear to be happy in the delay here and would probably like to leave.
Yeah.
So we'll put a wrap on the Lori Baranski segment in Patriots Today here on Patriots.
And we apologize once again for any inappropriate comments that may or may not have been made by Andy.
May have.
Or Lori herself.
That's true. Anyway.
Hey.
Getting back to minicamp.
Due to some sexual content, parental discretion is advised.
We should start playing that.
Getting back to minicamp, though, obviously the big story on opening day was the absence of one, Anthony
Deion
Branch. And not here again today, just to update the listeners. I know that that's kind of a formality at this point. How big a deal is this?
Not a big deal at all. Deion Branch has already shown that he can step on the field pretty much any time, and we know he's going to be the best wide receiver on the team, and I think he can produce. He's the guy that knows the system as well as anyone, so I don't think he'll miss anything.
I thought missing the golf tournament was a bigger deal because you guys said how important that is and that Seymour was there last year.
I agree. I think that in the grand scheme of the 2006 season, neither one of them probably means a whole lot, but I think in the eyes of the organization, and that's not just Bill Belichick, that's, you know, the Kraft family, everybody involved, I think the golf tournament may have earned him more ill will than skipping a
and
minicamp.
It doesn't prove anything, or you don't gain anything by not being at the golf tournament.
Right.
It's not a symbolic gesture like this is, not coming to
we
a
pretty much
team activity.
Was coming.
And we know from our moles out there that he was in town as of last Friday, so it's not like he's been gone for months and months and
yes,
didn't come back.
Yes, we did receive word from someone who is in the know that he was in town last Friday, so I found that
so
very interesting.
So he couldn't stick around a couple days? Because there were reports yesterday that he is not in the New England area right now, the Boston Globe reported from an unnamed source. But so he was here Friday. He could have stayed, done the charitable golf tournament, and then done his business, disappeared, whatever. So, but the thing I keep bringing up, and everybody's trying to compare it to Seymour because it's the 2 years in a row now, and people were writing about it today in the papers. Is it a problem? You know, the Globe had a segment with Nick Cafardo. Is it a problem? Is there a trend here? Is it bad? And does it say something about the management style? Whatever. I don't know about all that. I think you have contract disputes in all sports for all teams and whatever, but I just don't think you can compare the two cases, Richard Seymour and Deion Branch, because you can't compare the two players. One is surefire, probably best defensive lineman in football. One, you have to really argue to call a number one wide receiver, and I think that's a huge difference.
And we were just kind of batting it around yesterday, the three of us, trying to come up with wide receivers that we felt that
you
he wouldn't. No, but just off the top of our head, without doing any research at all, we were talking about individual number one receivers around the league that we wouldn't consider Deion Branch a number one over. And, you know, suddenly it was, you know, T.O. and Randy Moss and Chad Johnson and Steve Smith and
Harrison.
Marvin Harrison. And the names just, you had to go a while.
Arizona Cardinals.
Both of the guys with Arizona, you know, Bolden and Fitzgerald. You had to go a while before you really stopped. And, you know, because I was actually thinking, well, there's probably a lot of teams that he would be a number one, but, you know, maybe it's about half and half. Maybe half he would be and half that he wouldn't be. So I don't think it's an easy situation here. I know that Branch wants his money, and I know the Patriots want him back. And I think that part of what makes it a little bit frightening for Patriots fans right now is the situation at wide receiver, and maybe after losing Givens and, you know, Troy Brown is in his 14th year now. Can you really afford to put yourself in a situation where you let Branch walk away as well? And maybe they can't. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. Just to reiterate all the stuff, logistical stuff that we talked about last year with Seymour, that would be the same with Branch. Deion really doesn't have a whole lot of leverage here. He can't.
Yeah, but I think he does.
He can't sit out.
But to your point is, like, when it comes to money, they need receivers, so it's kind of like a...
If he sits out, he never gets his money.
I'm not saying sitting out. I'm saying making a point. And
no,
then,
he can...
What if he sits out till the November whatever and does that thing
I think
and
he'll
comes
be here
back,
for the season,
gets his season.
But that could be...
That costs some money, in my opinion.
But I think he'll start the season. But I'm saying maybe then it's too late, and then he leaves next year, and, you know, now you got... You got to go. I mean, you could go to Tennessee. They need a number one receiver.
That's true, because you know they have Givens and Bennett, and I don't think either one of those guys. That's
nope.
One of the teams I would say that Branch would be the number one on.
But have you backed yourself in a corner because you let Givens go by not, you know, playing with the type of money that Tennessee had on the table?
Well, you guys,
because you've been so wrong with your young guys and Bethel Johnson, a PK Sam you thought might be a steal, a guy for the future. Have you backed yourself into a corner here? And you have to sign Deion Branch.
Well, I think you guys hit it on the head when you mentioned a few months ago with the Givens situation that they could have secured him a couple of years ago and not gotten this far. Now, if they had done that...
Yeah, but now they're not going to be able to secure Branch for
right.
What they could have secured Givens
right.
For.
That's my
the
point.
Difference.
No, I'm not comparing the two. I'm saying you guys made a good point about the Givens thing, that maybe they mishandled that. And if they had locked Givens down, then this wouldn't be as big of a problem.
And had you signed David Givens, he got $8 million in guaranteed money that we posed. Maybe you could have given him a $6 million signing bonus a little earlier or whatever, something in that neighborhood. Well, now if you sign David Givens for... a $6 million in guaranteed money, and a Deion Branch wants $12 million, are they good enough as a pair so that you now have two legitimate, young, solid wide receivers that you have tied up for the long term? That's the only question I ask, because now you could end up with neither of them, but what are you going to get? You got to line up somebody.
Yeah.
It gets back to the Tom Casale argument of, you have Tom Brady in the prime of his career. You're doing a disservice to the team, the player himself, and the fans if
right.
You don't surround him with tools to allow him to be successful.
Well, I want to get back to something that Tom said at the start here, because I think it's interesting, and it might be contradictory to what we all think about this, because I had said that Branch has no leverage here in this situation, and Tom said that he disagreed. He thinks he does because of the situation with what you just said,
I
Andy,
do too.
With the wide receivers. Well, if that's the case... then I think we all have to reassess whether or not we think that this is a big deal. Because if he has leverage and he can sit out,
but he has
and he can kind of put a gun to their head and make them pay him, then he's not just going to be... I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that he's just going to be back. I don't think they just... Look,
it's a dangerous game to play as the player,
I don't think the Patriots will be bullied into giving him more money than they want to. Because they don't have a very deep crop of wide receivers right now. I think that would be very counter to what the way that they do business.
I think they put themselves in that position.
I think most people think that Deion Branch, at some point in training camp, will be back and be part of the you know, starting lineup on September 8th or whatever it is against Buffalo. Most people believe that, right?
I would assume that.
So why would you know, so were we thinking that the Patriots are going to meet his demands?
First of all, how out of range are his demands?
I don't know.
That he's looking for $12 million in guarantees.
I don't know what his demands are, and I don't know
It's been reported. I'm going to take if a guy writes that that's what he's looking for and quotes a source, I'm not going to just say the guy's a liar. I'm going to assume that that reporter has sources that have a link to Deion that
he said
those
$12 million.
$12 million in guarantees.
You
guarantee.
Know what Harrison and Moss make?
No.
Guaranteed?
No.
I mean, T.O. makes 10, but he's kind of
that doesn't
weird.
Really count because he has that funny.
No, it was compared to Reggie Wayne. Was the deal was really compared to that he got basically $12 million in guarantees mm-hmm. in his deal. Well, I think Deion Branch and Reggie Wayne are comparable. I'm willing, if that's the market that's been set, I would pay him. I don't think it's an exorbitant amount of money.
Do you think the Patriots will think that, though?
Yeah. I mean, they were willing.
I'm not saying that. This is not an argument here. I'm thinking that this might be more than I think everybody is saying. That's all.
Paul has agreed with you in the past on that. I disagree. I think Reggie Wayne is a better receiver.
I agree with the Reggie Wayne.
See, I think you put Deion Branch as the number two in that offense, and he's a superstar.
No, I've gone back and
agree with that, but I'm just talking if you take Reggie Wayne and bring him here, he's better than Deion Branch. That's what I think.
I think
he's bigger. I think he can get off the line better. I just think Branch's lack of size hurts him in certain situations. It's not no fault of his own.
Maybe, but I think they're comparable for these purposes. I think they're pretty comparable.
I just don't know that the Patriots would give Reggie Wayne what Reggie Wayne.
No, I don't. I don't think so.
So whether or not you think Branch is comparable or not,
But we know they were.
I don't think that they
want to
pay the wide receivers
that
kind of
money. But they were in the game. They were coming back late, trying to get back in that game. When they knew what the money that was on the table. So let's just assume they were in the $6-8 million range. They didn't get there. They weren't willing to go where Tennessee went.
Right.
But let's assume they're in the they have clearly established that Deion Branch is their number one wide receiver.
But
that
I'm
he
also,
is far better than David Givens.
Well that's
so you have to
that,
pay him.
Well if that means that he's far better, then wouldn't it stand to reason that he's going to want far more than that.
That's what I'm saying. They were willing to be in the game for David Givens at the end.
Right.
They were trying to be in the game there, right?
Right. Oh, I agree
and that
with
was
that.
The money, the range they were in. So Deion Branch says, I'm your number one. You've pretty well established that I'm your number one. Then I clearly am getting more, and he's asking for $12 million. In my eyes, I don't see that as a huge jump.
But what else is he asking for?
I don't know, but
like 5 years. I
football
mean,
contracts. Yeah. All I care about guaranteed and upfront type of money.
But that's not necessarily all the guaranteed money. That's first year guarantee money.
See, that's not. I don't believe that's how it was reported. He was looking for
just, then,
$12 million.
Then if that were the
guaranteed
case, then
bonus.
I think this would have been done months ago. If that's all he was looking for was $12 million in guaranteed money, 5 year contract. I only owe him $12 million or whatever. I think it would
well,
be
you're
done.
Gonna pay him a little more than that, but yeah, I mean that's.
But
what
I'm talking
reported,
in terms
yes.
of guaranteed.
Right.
You know, because, I mean, Givens only got $8 million guaranteed, plus
right,
whatever
so
salary he got
Deion's
this year.
Say Deion's looking for a $7 million signing bonus and a workout bonus for something and, you know, $3.5 million roster bonus next spring. You do that in a heartbeat. Whatever it adds up to, it's in the $12 million range.
I think this is being underplayed a little bit, the story.
I agree.
I think this story
gets bigger than people think.
I think everybody just saw what happened to Seymour last year, and they assume that they'll work it out.
Right.
He'll be back, and everything will go on. And I think it might be a little bit more to that. I think that from what I've heard, Branch is not happy. He's determined to become a free agent, and I think it's going to be an issue. Now he may play, but I think it's going to be an issue.
I agree.
Now we haven't talked to Deion, and
right.
some reports have said that he's.
He
changed
his cell phone,
his changed his email address, and no one's been able to get in touch with him. So
until
we talk to him specifically, this is all speculation. I'll be the first to admit it with throwing our opinions out there, and no one's right, no one's wrong.
But I think if you're the Patriots, you look and you say, well, we can replace Deion Branch. Maybe we already have with Chad Jackson, you know, in the future. But you look at Richard Seymour.
Couldn't replace
you can't,
him.
You can't find Richard Seymour's unless you're picking at the top of the draft usually. So,
but to me, Deion Branch is only replaceable on paper because they haven't shown the ability to replace anyone at wide receiver. They drafted Branch and Givens.
What maybe they're
no, I know, but that's fine to say he's replaceable. I think he's totally replaceable.
But you lose both.
You didn't replace you kind of were trying to replace Givens with Jackson because you failed in the past. You have nobody. That's the bottom line. You don't have any wide receivers right now.
Right.
And I agree in theory he is 100% replaceable. I don't think he's that good. But the way the chips have fallen for Deion Branch, I think, lean towards his argument.
If he doesn't, just like, let's just throw it out there that he doesn't play for some reason, they're in a whole heck of a lot of trouble.
Right.
Because they got Bam Childress and John Stone lining up with with the first unit.
And so Troy Brown. You can't count on Troy Brown to play 16 games.
And I agree with you guys. I think even himself and Bill Belichick would admit that.
Right.
They didn't
and
bring him back for that.
Rishay Caldwell has been injured twice, two relatively major injuries at times in his career.
Chad Jackson's a rookie.
But we should point out, I think, has looked pretty
good. Looks
good. No pads, shorts, helmets, whatever. For what it's worth, I'm not saying
better to look good than bad at this point.
Not saying, I think he's looked pretty good. He looked like he has a good rapport going so far with Brady. Let's get to the emails. Justin, first up in Alaska.
Our favorite emailer from Alaska.
We know Justin. First order of business, buy Tom a helmet. I'm not talking a motorcycle helmet, just like one of those helmets the kids who ride the short bus wear. And he has to have it on any time he leaves his house. Well, forget that. Just have him wear his Pat's helmet everywhere.
Is Casale or Brady?
Not exactly.
I think he means Brady.
Yeah,
I think he means Brady, too.
Must be Brady.
I thought he was taking a shot at me first, but then I realized that was important.
Yeah, no, it is Brady.
Tom already owns his helmet that he wears on the short bus.
Speaking of Tom, is he ever going to marry that chick?
Corky Casale over here.
And question for the staff here.
I like your boobs.
Would it bother you if your girlfriend/wife became an actress and she had to do, quote, love scenes?
Yes.
Making out with actors.
Yes.
Not Skinamax, just the regular R movie stuff.
No.
Personally, I couldn't do it. I'd be kicked off the set for attacking Matthew McConaughey too many times.
Wouldn't bother me at all, because when she showed me the check, I'd forget about all that jealousy.
Yeah.
What happens when she shows you the door, takes the check, and the guy she was just rolling around in the bed with?
She's an actress, though. That's her job.
It would
I don't know if you've seen how it worked out, though. A lot of these actresses find a way of having real-life relationships with the guys. Penelope Cruz has gone from one guy to another in leading roles.
Oh, but can I get half her money?
Jolie and Brad Pitt, right?
I don't know how that works.
If I can get half her money and she wants to move on,
she's richer and probably has a better lawyer than you. So you're going home with nothing. No money, no girl, no nothing. And you got to watch it on the big screen.
As usual.
Right. And you got to watch it on the big screen with your friends like me making fun of you.
And I don't have a big screen.
That's true, too. Oof. So no way would I allow my wife to be around with Matthew McConaughey.
I would have a hard time with it, no doubt about it. I'm pretty...
I would have a hard time with it, but, I mean, is she getting paid $2 million? Because if she is, then I'll learn to live with it. If she's in a B-rated movie making $450, then maybe we would have to reassess the situation.
Well, that would be, I think, the qualifying to the Skinamax kind of stuff.
What about porn?
Oh, absolutely
not. Not porn.
I'm just asking.
Absolutely not.
What if it paid really well, Tom?
Not porn.
That's
not porn. That's the cutoff.
That's not acting. That's actual sex. That's a problem.
Gotta love Tom.
Next topic.
And by the way, should I have not felt bad about us talking not about minicamp when one of our first emails was whether our wife could roll around in bed with some guy in a movie?
Denver again. Is it me, or do we seem to play Denver every freaking year? I'm sick of them. 96, 97, 98, 99, 2000, 1, 2, 3, 5, 6. It's like they're a divisional opponent. I hate Denver. Just venting. Anyone else share this sentiment, or am I the lone crazy guy screaming to myself on the tee? I don't really care. I just don't like going to Denver because it's a long trip.
I just hate the Colts.
That's all.
Well, it's just one of those things that it's very logical, the way the schedule works out.
You play a lot of teams in the conference you happen to line up with.
You play a division in your conference, and then you also play the games in your conference that are schedule-related, and Broncos and Patriots have been pretty good for a while now, so they happen to line up on the schedule.
Is your phone going off?
No, it was the message thing. Calm down.
Oh, okay.
So, yes, it's your cell phone going off. It just wasn't a ring. It was a message alert.
Out on a limb. I hate when players hold out. I understand it, but I'd love it if they did it behind closed doors instead of publicly. Well, just as a point of fact, it's impossible to hold out
without
privately.
Knowing.
Because if you don't go to practice,
it's out there.
You have to hold out from something.
Right.
You can't just say, oh, by the way, I'm not going to practice tomorrow, Bill. I'm holding out, and then have no one find out about it.
I know people don't think the media reports anything, but if Deion Branch isn't at practice, well, we're going to tell you.
You think you could do it some way by showing up, but, like, tanking it and ruining practice for everybody else.
Corey Dillon's doing it right now.
Oh, God.
No, but seriously, like, Dion runs every route, and he puts his hand up, and just as the ball gets there, he moves his hand and just lets it go through. And that'd be funny to watch.
Just to get on the record, Andy thinks that Corey Dillon is fat, too. He just won't.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just...
I think Dillon has looked beefy, there's no doubt.
He's not going to beat a dead horse like you have. Dude's done.
To me, the misconception is that the player wants to make noise by holding out publicly, like Pioli and Belichick would respond to public pressure to get the deal done. Yeah, I'm sure Belichick's inbox, that email by Justin in Alaska expressing his concern on Branch's holdout, is going to carry a lot of weight. Why do you think people publicly hold out? Do they get bad advice from agents? Well, I think we just said you can't really privately hold out. It's not a
I do think some guys get bad advice from agents.
Yeah, I think the agents are definitely a part of it. They think they can get the guy more money.
And
no doubt about that.
That's one of those where I might not necessarily agree with the agent, because the agent has nothing to lose on the team-building aspect or hurting a relationship with a coach. But in the end, when an agent's looking for money, he is looking for money for the player, too, because he gets paid a percentage of what the player gets. So he is, in some way, looking out for the player's best financial interests.
Oh, wow. We have a next emailer is Nori from Scotland. We are definitely global. There's no doubt about that. As Fred likes to say, it's really the world's...
Wide web?
Yeah. Now Fred can never say that.
A lot of things Greg can never say.
This is true.
That win.
I really enjoy the show, and I'm glad to say that I get to listen to every one of them now, thanks to the podcasts. So Dion Branch didn't turn up for the first day of minicamp, mandatory minicamp. So where does that leave the Patriots and, of course, Branch himself? Well, we talked about that a little bit already. How can Branch's situation be compared to Richard Seymour's from last year at this time? Apart from the fact that they were/are both in the last year of their contracts, that, for me, is where the similarity stops. Actually, Seymour wasn't in the last year of his contract.
Nope.
He had another whole year. He was under contract for 2006, right. Whereas this is Branch's last year.
I don't see any comparison. Because if you went around and asked players and coaches to name the 10 most important players in football, Richard Seymour's name would land on that list, where Dion Branch probably wouldn't get a vote.
Seymour is truly one of the top dogs, if not the top, at his position in the NFL. The same cannot be said of Branch. Sure, Branch is the Patriots' number one wide receiver, but he truly isn't a number one wide receiver in terms of the NFL, so I don't expect the Patriots to give him a deal that would reflect him being a true number one in his position. And that's kind of what our debate was over, is where the Patriots would value him and where Branch values himself, and I think that's what this is all about. He's got no problem, this is Nori speaking, with someone trying to earn themselves a bit of extra cash, but holdouts always bemuse me. I can only assume that Branch and his agent fancies his chances of getting the deal he wants, as the pickings of available free agents at wide receiver position are pretty sparse, to say the least. Do you guys have a feeler of how things will ultimately pan out? I reckon it could be a tough-it-out year for Dion, as I don't see the Patriots parting with big bucks to appease him. Keep up the good work. Yeah, that seems to be the feeling for most people, is they think. Bottom line, there's not a whole lot that Branch can demand. If the Patriots don't want to give him any more money, he's going to have to get back here and have this season be an accrued season in terms of NFL circles, which 6 games, I believe it is, Andy. You have to play at least 6 games to have an accrued season.
Yeah, after week 9 or it's...
So if he holds out, he's going to end up costing himself money, because he's going to delay free agency even more. And I think even if he comes back and accrues the season and becomes a free agent, I think that's probably going to hurt him in the long run in NFL circles.
I got to think there are GMs, owners out there, coaches who see that happen. And if they were going to be interested in Dion Branch, it kind of pulls them back a little and says, is this really the guy we want?
Is
kind
this
of players
man?
That do that. So I think the player loses some money when you do that.
I hear what you're saying, but Keenan McCardle did it, and they couldn't wait to line up to sign him. Keyshawn did it. They couldn't wait to line up to sign him. It's all about what you can do for the football team at that time. I agree with you that it might hurt him a little bit, but I still think he's going to get his money.
But either way, there's going to be people lining up. If he gets to this free agent, if he says, I'm not signing an extension here. So I mean, I know you obviously risk a little more by playing the first 9 weeks. You know, there's more of a chance you could have a serious injury because that's all you're really worried about. I mean, if you're intent on getting a free agency, you can go out there, play a regular season, and then just be a free agent next spring.
Right.
If you sit out and come back, you still have to play those final 6 or 7 weeks. So you're basically cutting the injury risk in half. So I just think you're a more valuable commodity if you play the whole season and just go to a normal free agency. And, there's risk.
Plus, if he has a big year, his stock rises even more.
Right. So I just think you're better off playing the games, just saying, you know what, let's just forget about this. I'll be a former Patriot next spring. Mm-hmm. I'll play this season. Yeah. Let's play ball.
I agree. But, well, obviously this will be a big topic over the next month or so, and, you know, maybe even longer until this situation gets resolved.
Just think, though, that the Patriots have their systems in place and they feel that they can insert guys into those systems.
That's how I feel about it, Tom. That's exactly how I feel about it. Now, right or wrong, I'm not necessarily saying I think they're right about it. I'm saying I think that they feel beyond Tom Brady and clearly Richard Seymour, because they proved that they felt differently about those two guys. I think they feel like they can do it with a lot of interchangeable parts.
Maybe we'll find out. I just think you have to be extremely confident in yourself if you're willing to line up John Stone and say, we'll beat you.
All right, Damian is next up. What's up, guys? Love the show, fellas. And Tom, you are the bomb.
Oh, hey, I got a fan.
Yeah.
It only took 10 months.
Well, if the Pats can't find another free agent receiver this summer, then who is going to be our number 5 or number 6?
Well, there'll be guys available.
Yeah,
Fred said so.
You got to listen.
Childress, Davis. Who's Davis?
Eric
Davis. Smith, McGrew, Stone, or Mazinski. Do any of them have potential?
No.
Well, we kind of liked some of the stuff that we saw out of Stone, for example.
Yeah.
Today, but again, that's just,
I think
so hard.
I think the team's got to worry about who's going to be their number 2 and 3 wide receivers.
Can I say this? I want someone right now to name me the number 5 receiver on any other team in football. Thank you.
You can't even name the Cowboys' 5th receiver?
I just don't understand why. I mean, the one aspect of this that concerns me is the fragility of the wide receivers. They've always
Seneca Wallace?
They've always been hurt.
Terrence Copper.
He's a third quarterback.
And he plays wide receiver,
Terrence
too, so I assumed he was
the
fifth
receiver for the Cowboys.
Okay, well, you know, beyond your little love affair with Dallas, can you name me
another
Seneca
Wallace? He's going to be the fifth.
Scotty Vine.
Sixth wide receiver?
Or is it? It might be Mike Williams in Detroit.
Can we all agree that the point is kind of mid?
Yeah, let's go get Mike Williams.
The problem isn't
Let's go get Mike Williams.
The problem isn't who's going to be the number 5 receiver. Is are the top 4 A good enough and B durable enough to get through the season? Because if they are, then you don't have to worry about who's number 5.
Right. I'll say no to both.
Probably. That's what my concern is, health. They haven't proven.
They don't have a single guy that I have any confidence in any level.
The problem is 2, 3, and 4. I mean, those guys. It's not the 5.
Yeah. Anyway.
Right now, it's 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Damian's email goes on. How did Beisel, Claridge, and Gardner look in minicamp this week? Do they even get reps? Well, Beisel's the starter.
And I got Gardner.
Let me rephrase that. I'm sorry. Beisel is working with Teddy Bruschi at inside linebacker.
Right. And I saw
a group that also includes Roosevelt Colvin, Mike Vrabel, Richard Seymour, Vince Wilfork, and Ty Warren. That's the front. Those are the front 7 working together.
And Andy and I saw.
Draw any conclusions from that you will.
Vince Wilfork.
Andy and I saw Gardner taking like handoffs as a running back, and I actually have him rated ahead of Dylan on the running back chart.
Yeah, Claridge and
Claridge, by the way, non-factor so far in most of the personnel groupings that we've seen.
It's
doesn't
like
mean a lot, but
stuff,
surprising. Gardner, I would think, without question, special team.
It's funny, when they rotated in, they've brought in Don Davis, Tully Banta-Kane, Eric Alexander, and Roosevelt Colvin stayed out there. So if you want to have a second group, that appeared to be the second group. Then once Colvin left, it was wholesale changes. And that's when guys like Claridge and Gardner and Freddie Roach, the guy Pierre Woods, those guys finally started getting reps. But in terms of like legitimate, quote-unquote, first-team reps, Beisel's the guy. Claridge hasn't been in the mix. Gardner, none
of those. I haven't seen much of Mincy, have you?
No.
No.
I've seen Woods more than Mincy.
Yeah.
Let's see, Damian, I'm looking forward to another crazy season, but without a lot of injuries. Because my friends are Raiders and 49ers fans, he's from Northern California, by the way, and they put down my team all the time, They need to take a good look in the mirror because those teams suck now. Anyways.
They signed Dwayne Starks and Tyrone Poole, the Raiders.
Keep up the good work, guys, and may the Rock live. Okay.
Why, the Rock was going to die?
I don't know. P.S. The Patriots town, Pro Shop. Okay.
The Rock is in town preparing to start shooting.
All right, we better start getting through some of these emails so we have time here. Dwayne, next up. I haven't
Rock Johnson?
Haven't emailed in a while. I hope my email will make it into the program today. Well, it has, and congratulations. I love the Bethel trade.
You can die now.
Even if Sullivan is a complete bust, it won't be anything less than what Johnson would have ended up as anyway. However, there is one drawback.
He's fat.
And that is that the Patriots now have one less receiver to rely on.
Rely?
Say what you want about Bethel, but at least he stayed fairly healthy and had experience in the offense as opposed to other receivers on the team. Well, I would disagree with the health part of it, and I would also disagree with the first part of your statement because, Dwayne, you say that even if Jonathan Sullivan's a complete bust, it won't be anything less than what Johnson would have had. And in the next sentence you say that Johnson was at least a receiver that you could rely on, so wouldn't that be more than a complete bust?
Yeah, I don't know. All right. I don't think they ever relied on Bethel Johnson for anything.
Agreed.
Well, except kicks early on in his career.
I think Troy Brown will have to be more than a role player this year, perhaps starting a few games opposite Branch. Do you see a Troy Brown resurgence on the horizon? By resurgence, I mean being in the top three in receptions or receiving yards, perhaps second to Branch.
Now, he is in great shape. I'll give him that. He looks like he's in his third year.
What do you guys think on that?
Could be. I have a hard time envisioning him being out there 16 weeks.
I don't think
weeks.
They want him in that role.
Yeah, I don't see him as being the second receiver to Branch.
Third.
I think there's a better chance that a wide receiver, I mean a tight end or even a running back.
A running back.
Might have more catches than Troy Brown.
Yeah.
Also, does anyone else see the Browns or the Ravens perhaps running away with an extremely weak AFC North?
Ravens are a new team to watch. Give them a quarterback they've been missing for years.
I don't agree with this as a weak division. I don't agree with this at all.
The Steelers and the Bengals to go along with those.
And you haven't talked about the Bengals in this. If Roethlisberger misses significant time, it would be hard to see them winning that division. And with all the other teams in the division getting stronger, I think one of the surprise teams in the AFC will definitely come out of that division.
I think the Ravens could be decent.
Yeah, I think that Steve McNair is done, and that's Corey Dillon done.
Oh, I don't think so.
We'll see.
We will see.
But before we move on to the emails, we do have several more. James in Roanoke Rapids is on the phone line, so we'll check in with James and see what he thinks of the AFC North.
How y'all doing?
Hey, James.
Hey, it's kind of we got a little rain down here. It's pouring down.
we've had a little rain over the last month or so. So
yeah, I know y'all had a lot down there. The reason I'm calling is we wanted to comment on that Roethlisberger accident.
Yes.
And his extent of injuries.
Uh-huh.
I think they're being a bit optimistic, saying he's going to be ready by opening day.
Well, I haven't. Is that something that was updated today? Because I hadn't seen anything.
Yeah,
saying
they said
he's
going to be ready by opening day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, based on what do you think that you would have skepticism on that?
My daughter had similar injuries in an auto accident where her front teeth got knocked down, facial fractures.
Okay.
And they had to wire her jaw shut, too, and she lost a lot of weight because she couldn't eat that much. And they said she shouldn't have any kind of contact sports until at least 5 months, 5 to 6 months. So I don't know whether he has availability to something that is not general public doesn't have availability to or whatever that helps him heal faster or what.
Well, I would say he will probably have the best care available, the best nutrition available. If his jaw, when it's wired shut, they'll be pumping as much as they can into him to keep his weight up. That would be the limitation because most of the injuries seem to be, as bad as they sound when you say he lost all his teeth and he had a 9-inch gash and he broke this, they're not related to major aspects of the game in terms of a major knee injury or shoulder injury, things like that. So that would lead me to believe that he does have a chance to come back sooner rather than later. But in terms of losing, I mean, who knows how that plays out when his jaw's wired shut.
Yeah, and as far as your jaw being wired shut, maybe Corey Dillon should try that.
He could lose some LBs.
That's Gary Krajewski on that
one. Yeah, he can probably play. He can probably throw the ball pretty good and run around and stuff like that. But he's still chancing the re-injury of those facial fractures because they're going to take time to fully heal. And he has screws in there and stuff like that. And it's just taking a big chance to putting him out there so quick.
Yeah, I think there's
the beginning of the season.
I think to suggest the opener, I think, is probably a bit optimistic. But certainly based on what I've read and heard about the injuries, I would think that he would be able to see significant time this season.
Right, and then there's my theory that medical science just keeps advancing because, according to everyone, Dante Culpepper's start in the season, Roethlisberger's start in the season, Carson Palmer. So I guess really when you get injured now, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah. So I guess that's about what I wanted to say. I just want to let you know I had a little experience.
Yeah, no, that's
all
interesting.
Right, thank you, James.
Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
All right, James.
Have a good day.
Take care. Yeah. No, it's interesting to get a different perspective on that kind of stuff, because I think that most people probably, I know I did anyway, extremely painful having your jaw wired shut and having 7 hours of surgery on facial fractures, but I wasn't really thinking of any of that as being a potential deterrent for 2006.
Right.
And they probably are very delicate bones to set, and clearly as a quarterback you're going to get hit and your head's going to get rattled. And I wouldn't think that would be good for for the long-term healing process.
I told you they wouldn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, and you knew that as well. Yeah. Once again, Tom Casale, right
again. Tom Casale was driving that car, apparently.
Doug and Blackstone next up. I know he's not a Patriot, but I'm glad to see Big Ben is doing better. We'll never understand how people can ride without a helmet. Reminds me of a former employee of mine. True story. He walks into a motorcycle shop and asks the owner if he has any cheap helmets. His response was, "Why? Do you have a cheap head?" He was so embarrassed he walked out of the store. Now to the Patriots. I know these mini camps are not the best places to get the big picture, but what has impressed you the most so far? I'm going back a bit, but do you remember that irate madman who called into the show and promised to kiss some cursed booty if a certain player makes the team? Oh, Tom, how could I forget?
I'm just going to say,
who was the player and how did he look in camp? I forget.
I don't even know.
Did you guarantee someone wouldn't make the team?
I don't know. I guarantee
you would kiss Fred's butt if someone made the team?
I think I might have said something like that, but I can't remember who the player is. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either, but
I don't listen to half the stuff Tom guarantees.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I've tuned out the guarantees ever since that last second field goal.
I get a cloudy memory. Like if Dylan rushes for over 1,000 yards, I'll probably forget about that.
I think Gary will be there to help you out on that one.
If you can remember the player, we'll tell you how he looked.
Rob in Ashburn, Virginia, next up has three points here. One. Hey, guys, have you tried the new buffet on Route 1? It looks like Dylan and Sullivan have. Definitely in line with you there.
I just want to point out, I was excited when you read that the first time because I was like, there's a new buffet on Route 1? And then I realized it was a joke.
Two, I hope the national media won't call Dylan and Maroney thunder and lightning if they have a successful year.
They
will.
There won't be any thunder.
I don't think that's a thunder and lightning backfield.
Not really.
To be honest with you. They're both bigger guys.
Well, the only difference.
Maroney's not as big as Dylan.
Right.
Dylan's huge as a running back.
But I think they're going with like thunder is the guy who gets the 2 yards, Dylan, and then Maroney's the guy who comes in and goes 70.
I just have this feeling, and we've said it before, after the New York Jets game in week 2, the Lawrence Maroney jerseys are going to fly out of here, and people are going to be in love with this guy. That's just how I think it's going to be.
So Ken Flanders should be ordering those?
He should be doing something.
He's not always on the ball with ordering of jerseys.
Hi, you've reached the desk of Ken Flanders.
Give him a call, Gary. Let's see if he's around today.
Wait, this one's not bad. His third point says, I have also heard rumors of a Tom Brady for Jake Plummer trade, so the Patriots can have Jake and the Fat Man in the backfield.
That's not bad.
I like this guy.
I like that. Gary, next up, not Gary Gradecki. He doesn't need to email in. He just chimes
Gary.
In. This is Gary Abrams. I read yesterday in Tom's minicamp report that Marquise Hill was getting a lot of reps at his defensive end position. Do you guys see anything out there to make you think that this could be the year that Hill steps up and becomes an on-field regular?
Nope.
I realize that barring several injuries, he won't be a starter. But how about another backup along with Jarvis Green? Speaking
second
of which, is Green injured? Thanks for keeping me informed. I think that Jarvis Green is dealing with some sort of injury, and we all know that various guys are in various stages of recovery, and that's affecting people. But Jarvis Green hasn't been out there on the field. I think that's why Hill's gotten some reps.
Apparently Eugene Wilson is included in that group with the various guys who are dealing with various things.
Yeah, I would say so.
Gary Gerdecki deserves props.
Jason, next up, maybe you can shed some light on
a few
things.
I don't remember saying that.
What's up, Paul Perillo?
What's up, Paul Perillo?
I am wondering who of any of the obscure players looks like they are stepping up some. Just curious as to who may be a real surprise in a positive way. We'll get to that in a second. On another note, I heard that Branch has changed phone numbers and email addresses so that the Pats could not get in touch with him. Have you heard such nonsense? Not so the Patriots couldn't get in touch with him, so the media couldn't get in touch with him.
Just to be fair, that's how it was written today.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think that's true.
I don't think so either, but...
To me, this sounds very childish, and if true, sounds like a very dumb move. Comments? Well, I think
it's dumb to not allow negotiations when you're trying to force negotiations.
He's trying to get more money. The way to do it isn't to be invisible.
Fred, I need a raise, but don't call me.
Don't call me. I have heard that the NFL is trying to have Rock and Roll Part 2 banned from NFL stadiums because of Gary Glitter's arrest and conviction in Vietnam. About half the people at football games don't even know who did the song, so why ban it? Comments? Not even worth talking about. Who cares?
I don't know anything about Gary Glitter.
So we have the good,
although
the bad, and the ugly.
Gary Glitter.
Gary Glitter was arrested several times for, molestation. A very, very bad man.
Yeah.
He's
the one.
Bad man. Bad stuff.
Bad man.
Bad stuff. But, I mean, they play a song in stadiums, and I totally agree with Jason's email. 99% of the people don't even know who Gary Glitter is, let alone the fact that he's a child molester.
Plus, if we're going to start...
He was arrested in Vietnam. He's in prison.
If we're going to start limiting music, I mean, you got to cut out Michael Jackson, R. Kelly. There's a whole... You got to go down a whole list of guys who are not good guys.
I don't play Michael Jackson and R. Kelly.
You just play with Michael Jackson.
Play Rick James?
No.
Bitch?
Did I say bitch?
You just did. Michael.
I don't care. I'll say it.
Michael's in North Carolina, and he has a few questions to ask about. First, if Maroney really impresses people with his productivity in training camp, preseason, and game one, does he have a chance to take over Dylan's spot to start?
Yes.
I don't know if game one. I'm thinking more along the lines of game four. They'll give Dylan that one, you know, like that sick horse. They give him one more race before they shoot it. I think they'll give Dylan like two or three starts before they realize that they got the Cadillac in the garage and it's time to put the old clunker in there.
I don't think it'll take too long if Maroney is lights out tremendous, because I don't think Dylan has earned himself any goodwill with the coaching staff, especially when he told reporters to go tell Bill, "I don't give a bleep."
And
I know that didn't sit well with Bill.
And he puts the best players on the field, regardless of who their name is. And what they, you know, so it's not going to take long, in my opinion, from what I've seen so far.
Do you think that Branch will have a new contract by the time the season starts?
No.
Since everyone is not impressed with Beisel, could they start Mincy or Gardner outside?
No.
Or if they keep an unsigned rookie to start inside, so at least you have someone. No one likes the younger players. So at least you have someone. No one likes the younger players. Can come in and maybe surprise people and get some real playing time.
I don't know what it means.
I don't think that that's a possibility.
Bonnie Beisel,
I think, will be the starter, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Didn't it look like Brady's passes were high during the end of the season? Was this because of his injury, or were they just seemed to be a lot of them? Thanks for you guys. Looking for Hobbs and Sanders to start day one. Tom's looking for Sanders to start, too.
Well, he's starting right now.
I do think
there's no starters right now.
Brady's passes were definitely high, and I think it's a reasonable assumption to say that the groin injury was probably
I think another part of it was he had helmets in his chest.
Oh, absolutely. It took a constant
hard to follow through when there's a body right in front of you.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Plus, he's perfect, and if it's awful, it's not his fault, really.
I agree with that.
Let's see. JR is next up here. I just found you guys in the past few weeks online on the podcast. I love you guys.
Subscribe.
Very
interesting. We want our number to run up.
Thank you very much, JR. Two things. ESPN Fantasy Football Magazine listed Cedric Hobbs, now with Denver, as one of the big sleeper backs this year.
They fell into the trap Andy Hart fell into like 3 years ago.
Runs well backwards.
I have a sleeper back. I have him as one of my sleeper backs, too, for fantasy football.
Well, you gotta
tell me I could be vindicated and finally be right about him?
You have to consider a guy that's on the roster. You have to consider a guy on the roster in Denver who maybe no one knows about as a sleeper because
Right, and I've asked you guys,
they make thousand yard guesses before
because I was curious what the problem was.
We never saw him play.
And you said what a lack of love for the game, which was his problem that they said in college, lack of maybe heart and love for the game.
Could be.
So if a guy that has talent, if someone can light that fire,
right,
maybe he can be something. You know, a sleeper means last round draft pick in fantasy football.
They took a backhanded shot at the Patriots for letting him go. From what I remember, he couldn't get on the field because he couldn't pick up a blitz, catch the ball, etc. Is he not a classic teaser? I think that the passing game was clearly part of it. He had no experience whatsoever from his days at Arkansas, and I'm sure that that was partly responsible for his inability to get on the field. He wasn't healthy even in the preseason to get carries.
He was always hurt at Arkansas, too. That's a big problem with him.
And that hurt him. Secondly, as a fan of Deion Branch holdout, as a fan, the Deion Branch holdout is a good thing. Last week's show, you mentioned his agent wanting to take him to free agency. This forces the situation now, which likely means they renegotiate this year rather than letting him get to free agency next year. The Patriots may not want to be bullied by Branch, but as a fan, it isn't our money he is after, and if this move means he gets his new contract and doesn't leave the team, then go Deion. So it's an interesting fan perspective. It says, P.S. Paul, you always say that they have to pay someone, right? Evidently, JR wants to have Deion Branch be the one. It's an interesting look from a fan. I think most fans would be the opposite. They think they're all greedy for holding out.
What if you pay Deion as a 1B? You give him decent money, whatever he wants, $12 million, something. And in 2 years, Chad Jackson's catching 100 balls for 1,300 yards and has clearly surpassed
him. 1A.
Now you got to pay him even more because I got to get more than him. I'm way better than him. If you pay him beyond his value, and they're big on value around here.
Concerned.
When guys like Lori Malloy or Tabucky Jones, they were having success in the system, but we're not going to pay you beyond your value. If you do that for Deion Branch, it's a dangerous, slippery slope.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Andy, and I'll jump right on board to your ship and say it right now that Chad Jackson's going to be a better NFL wide receiver than Deion Branch. I honestly believe he does everything exceptionally well. How some of those teams let him slip in the first round is beyond me, and the Patriots got a steal on it.
So you're on board with my prediction that he makes a Pro Bowl before his rookie deal ends?
Yes. And I'm also on prediction that he could be starting as the number two relatively soon.
Dan Heffern.
Tom Casale on board on the CJ train, baby.
Sorry.
Dan Heffern is next up, and he wants to call me out.
Just fell off the tracks.
To continue a discussion from last week, which season, 2003 or 2004, were the Patriots the best team in the league? Paul said it was 04, where other than one bad game, they were the best team in the league. But in 2003, even though they had the best record in the league, most of the games were close and they could have lost, and pointed to the snow game against Miami as an example. Revisionist history, Paul, and PFW in progress the week after that game and most other weeks as well. As soon as the Pats went ahead, you would say the game is over, they won't lose, which in the snow game was the first quarter. Even though the games were close, you said they were not going to lose. So to now say that they could have lost those games seems like you are going back on how you felt at the time. You also seem to forget that in 2004, the Pats could have lost to the Colts, Bills game 1, Seahawks, Jets game 1, Chiefs, and Bengals. The way I see it, in 2003, they could have lost to the Titans, the Dolphins game 1, Broncos, Texans, Colts, and both Jets games, although none of those Jets games from either season worried me the way the rest of the games mentioned did. I had to stay with 2003 as the season where the Pats were the best team in the league. Well, I mean, we'll just have a difference of opinion, Dan. I don't need to get into, he said, she said, but I feel just because a team is worth, there's a possibility you could lose the game doesn't mean that you were going to lose it. I felt they were going to lose it, but there was a possibility they could have lost in the snow. It was 3-0 in the fourth quarter. Doesn't mean I thought they were going to lose the game. I didn't think they would lose. But you can't.
Anytime you're within like 7 points, the other team can just score on any play.
With about 10 seconds left in the game at Houston that year, they were down 7. And I still didn't think they were going to lose the game. And they didn't. But I just the way that team went, they felt like they made all the plays when they had to. In 2004, I never had any such games going down to the wire. I don't remember a big list of games like that.
I didn't remember those either.
Chad, next up, is there any update on our kickers? I haven't seen anything online or from the show. Are they in camp? Yes, they are in camp, and they're kicking.
And but Paul thinks Gramatica stinks.
I do. I think that clearly from what I've seen, the ball doesn't come off his foot the same way it does.
Except
with
for
the
one bad Goskowski at the end of practice this morning when he kicked a knuckleball and almost killed Don
Davis. Went, whoa! By the way, Dylan will carry for over 1,000 yards, and I'll bet you an authentic jersey of Maroney that he does.
I'm already sorry. You missed out on the bet. I've already got one going.
Right. This the one, Branch and Dylan, Gary, you wanted me to read. Eric in Pennsylvania. I know this idea may seem far-fetched, but do you think Branch and or Dylan could be used as trade bait? And if so, who do you think they could get for it? I'm afraid with Seymour's success with his holdout that it could develop a pattern with every unhappy Patriots player. So if Branch is that unhappy, send him packing and try to at least get something for him.
Well, I think they could use Dylan for trade bait. They could trade him to Buffalo for Anthony Thomas.
Wow.
Eric George not in the league anymore?
Eddie George, no.
Okay.
True professionals, we all stopped speaking to read the notebook Gary held up.
I was also reading. I'm going to read one last email, and then we're going to return to the remainder of the long drive contest at the Patriots Charitable Foundation Golf Tournament. And Tom, Andy, and I will... What? Oh, yeah, and Dan Copen and all the other stuff that we have. I don't remember what was after Dan Copen. Was he the last player we talked to? All right, so Dan Copen interview and the results of the long drive contest, which Rodney Harrison was very impressive after guaranteeing victory going out and then doing so. Anyway, Tom, Andy, and I will read this last email and get out of here. Steve is in Missouri. Hey, guys, great program. I agree Branch is not a number one receiver, but Brady always talks so highly of him. Every time I hear anyone ask Brady about his receivers, he always gives Dion very high praise. I have no idea what kind of money he's asking for, but I'm very interested in knowing what he thinks he deserves. I was sad to see Givens go, but for crying out loud, he could never pass up that deal. Do you think it's a stretch to get a deal done for Ashley Lalee? I hope the Pats don't overpay for Branch. I'd rather them overpaid for McGinnis or overpay to get Ty Law. I just hope Jackson and Caldwell can step up.
First of all, I don't want to overpay for anybody, but I certainly don't want to overpay for McGinnis.
But he's saying he would rather have overpaid for McGinnis.
No, because those two are at the end of their careers. At least Branch has some years left.
If you overpay for Branch, even if he never evolves into a 100-catch guy, you're pretty sure you're going to get a 70-something catch guy who fits well in your offense. Brady loves him. Right. The downside isn't as huge other than just the fact you overpaid. And the other one... Tom Brady liked David Givens as much as anybody. Right. He was upset when Givens left, so he likes his guys.
Well, he likes his receivers, clearly. He tries to... as a point of reference, and I'm not saying he talked in glowing terms about this guy, but he specifically mentioned John Stone yesterday. So he clearly has an affection for his receivers. Branch, obviously, much higher than a guy like John Stone, but just as a point of reference, Tom talks very highly of his offensive players. He often calls Dylan... Branch, Givens, the best player on offense.
Right.
I've heard him say it about all of them at various times during their time here.
It's like the really hot girl telling one of her friends that she's hot, too.
Right. And she knows
she's the hottest.
As far as Lalee goes, I think Patriot fans will be very disappointed if he comes here. I think
you don't like Lalee.
No, because I think Mike Shanahan is a great offensive coach, and they've given him every opportunity to succeed there, and he hasn't done it. And I don't know why. I think he's a glorified Bethel Johnson. He's a deep threat that'll catch a couple of out patterns for you.
That's why we're starting the We Want Mike rumors. Mike Williams, we
and
need
Mike
him.
Williams
go get him.
Could be available. I know
demoted him.
Andy's being his idiot self over there. But
seriousness in every bit of idiocy that I spew.
That is true. There's been rumors that he's going to be on the trading block. So, hey, maybe he's a possibility.
All right. So we'll get to more wide receiver talk next week. But for now, we're going to return to the golf tournament from Monday. And Andy, Tom, and I will be back next week with a recap of the remainder of minicamp.
Grab the mic there.
Dan Copen, I was down there earlier, and you said you weren't happy about your second place finish last year.
I was robbed.
Wow.
You know, me and Russ came in and finished mine's 15 apiece, and, you know, the first hole they went to for a tiebreaker, it wasn't a very good hole for us, and he beat us. So I mean, I don't accept the loss.
You're gunning for it.
So when you say it wasn't a good hole, I mean,
had a tee box, a fairway, and a green?
No, I mean, I think, you know, it's a par five, and, you know, the par fives in the scrambles, you got an eagle or a birdie to at least have a chance on them, so, and we just didn't do it that hole.
So are you playing this year?
I'm playing.
You're playing, and you're intent on winning and not having any disappointments?
I've been mentally focusing myself for the last few days to come out here and play. No, you know, I haven't been out a lot.
That doesn't sound good.
I'm hoping
I was mentally focusing, Andy.
I'm hoping I get out there and get a good group to carry me a little bit, but I was out swinging, driver's going good, I'll be all right.
Well, that's important, because I think right out here, before you start, you're going to have the longest drive contest with people watching.
Yeah. I'm going to swing out of my shoes on that one, just because it's one ball, if I hit it, I hit it.
That's right. If you get a hold of it, you could win something.
Might as well take a shot at it.
You end up going home in a Jag or a Land Rover or whatever the prizes are.
Is it real?
Yeah, there's a lot of this cars, there's trips to Montreal, and...
Can you come to a Patriots charity event and walk away with a car then?
Yeah, why not?
Can I win a car? Oh, hold on. I've done that before.
What about longest drive?
Send me a suit.
$2,500 suit.
Yeah, I'll take that.
You look good on the plane?
I mean, I look good in $200 suits. It's going to be about a $2,500 suit. Okay.
So, down to news. Patriots fans are listening. How's the offseason, the rehab going? Where are you at?
It's going really well. You know, I'm left further along than I was 6 months ago. I'm just continuing to go in and work hard every day, trying to get back.
And what this weekend, will you be on the field at all for the mini camp, or are you still just in the rehab process? What can we expect from you? Or?
Yeah, I think we'll be off doing our own thing.
Yeah.
You know, more rehab stuff, just trying to get better and get back out on the field whenever I can.
When you look at the offensive line, it's kind of changed a lot. It's younger, it's drafted, got, you know, Mankins and Nick Kazier and different things. And some of the guys are gone, Andrewsy and Ashworth. But it's a young group, and a lot of the guys have played. So that's going to be something that, you know, looks good down the line. If you guys can stay healthy, the young guys playing together for a while.
Yeah, and especially with younger guys, experience is the most important. Make sure they're getting into game situations in the regular season to know what it's going to be like if they're called upon like they were last year. And, you know, Russ has done a great job filling in for us in the past, for the past 3 years. He's been able to step in there and play well. And Nick, you know, just stepped in as a rookie for light and, you know, did a phenomenal job. And Logan was there from the beginning. So to have those younger guys come along and play and with the experience that they got last year can only help us.
Along those same lines, do you look, you know, the draft just happens and three offensive players right at the top. Do you look at a big play wide receiver, a big play running back and say, wow, you know, that'll be fun. We can be a part of maybe a big play offense and juice it up a little?
You know, I think we have confidence in our offense, you know, and I think that Bill and Scott went out and got, upgraded it, you know, if they can. You know, when you got number 12 sitting back there, you always got a chance to make some plays. So, you know, we're just excited and working for the future.
So number 12 is Tom Brady.
Yes.
If fans of New England didn't know that, I'm sorry.
And you had made a comment down there, Brady's used to playing with presidents, so he's gonna, he could be tough to beat. He's shooting
kind of slumming it today,
I mean, I can get into his head. You can get into his head and just talk to him a little bit, and I'm sure if he does a long drive, he's going to be trying to swing too hard. So it's definitely a step down for playing with the presidents, but, we'll take him.
You know, talking about the offensive line, you know, all those guys you mentioned are all locked up, you know, for a little bit, and you're not. I'm not asking specifically what your plans are, but what is it like kind of entering into this year? You know, where, you know, at the end of the year, you would be a free agent. Does it enter your mind at all? Does it weigh on your mind mentally?
You know, you really can't, and especially since I got injured last year, it really isn't having, popped into my head at all, thinking about contracts or anything like that, because that's just, something that I can control when I'm playing on the field, but when I'm not playing, I can't control it. So that's my main focus, is getting back out on the field and, hopefully be Patriot for a long time.
All right, I know you have something else.
Well, I had an important question. Like, when was the last time you got a haircut?
I don't know.
It was a couple months ago. But,
you letting it go?
A couple of months. I could go a couple of years ago.
I think I've been debating this. If I get a haircut, I don't know. I just
let it go. That red hair.
One day I want to wake up, I want to keep it, and the other day I want to cut it. So we'll see what happens.
I think you should let it go. That whole Tarzan look.
It really doesn't matter what I look like, does it?
Not really.
No.
Not to us, anyway.
It could give you a little intimidation factor on the field. You know, I guess that long hair hanging out the helmet.
Long flowing locks.
Yeah.
Looks like Kyle Turley.
Yeah, he was wacky. He had the hair to go with the wackiness.
I don't know about wacky.
He just had to be smart. Okay, I know you got to get prepared, yeah, and yeah, appreciate you taking some time.
Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
All right, guys. Thank you. Good luck.
I hope you connect.
Thank you.
Okay, and we're going to take this opportunity as Dan Copeland steps away. We'll take a break right now. When we come back, we will have that much-anticipated long drive competition here on Patriots.com Radio.
And that's full time. The New England Revolution are your Eastern Conference champions for 2005. What a performance by the Rams.
The New England Revolution are revved up for a return to MLS Cup. As summer heats up New England, the soccer action heats up in Foxborough.
Gillette Stadium explodes.
Don't miss exciting matchups against DC United and Freddie Adu. A Friday night matchup against Real Salt Lake and the New York Red Bulls and Houston Dynamo's first ever appearances in Foxborough. Get to Gillette Stadium for hot soccer action all summer long with the interactive theme park soccer celebration plus free parking all season long. New England Revolution Soccer is an affordable, fun day for the whole family. Tickets start at just $18. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 to get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the Revolution. From sixth-round draft pick in 2000 to three-time Super Bowl champion and two-time MVP, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady has done it all. Until now. Tom Brady is 2005 Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. And now you can get an autographed copy of the SI cover personally autographed by the perennial Pro Bowler himself. It's the must-have keepsake for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Sportsman of the Year Sports Illustrated cover autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 500 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
Oh, that's right. That's just bad. That's dirty pool, Andy. We're back at the Patriots Charitable Foundation Golf Tournament in the midst of the players' long drive competition. Right as a swing was being taken, an air horn was blown.
Josh Miller's playing to win.
Yes.
That was him, the leader as we speak.
Josh Miller.
Of course, he's the only one that's gone.
Josh Miller stepped up to.
Oh, we got Woods.
Yeah.
Wow. Will McDonough talking a lot of trash, too, on the PA as well. But Josh Miller stepped up to lead off the tournament and just fired two bombs down the middle. 245 and 265.
An impressive start.
And it's, and just, you know, for the listeners out there, this is a very difficult driving hole, in my opinion, as a layman hacker golfer. It's straight uphill, basically. Kicks out to the left a little bit, but not an easy drive hole at all.
No.
No. And the so guy with the pin who's 225 yards away looks like he's about 600 yards away.
Right.
I, like Michael McGrew, would have bowed
passed
out of this.
Well, I would have
McGrew did a smart.
I would have taken a rip, but I would be probably in those pine trees to the right. So who's up right now?
Isn't this going to take like 6 hours?
Ellis Hobbs is up? Yeah, no, we're not going to be on for this whole thing.
This whole thing isn't going to take like every golfer gets two hits.
Except for the guys like me and Mike McGrew would bow out.
I can't believe you'd bow out.
Watch yourself.
Where the heck did that go?
Who did he hit someone? Hit someone off the toe.
But was it this ball over here that rolled onto the putting green?
No.
Who was it?
To the left?
Who hit it?
That was Ellis Hobbs, I believe.
All I know is that now has people on their toes because apparently it didn't go forward.
Well, just to set the scene, the first tee here is there's a couple of level tee boxes, and right around it there's a semicircle of people, you know, players, the participants in the tournament itself. And right now,
Hobbs
no one
have much golfing.
No one in that group is safe right now.
No.
I don't know. Ellis Hobbs took his two shot, but I never saw a ball leave the tee box, so I'm not
one
sure.
One went over there, one went in the other fairway.
Yeah, oh, okay. So he's no threat. He was no threat to win this. But okay. Eugene Wilson looks like he's ready to take part in this long drive. I don't think he's going to be passing on his turn. Russ Hochstein
Andy. Second chance.
In the woods again.
Mike Wright. Oh, if he connects, gone. Dude's jacked.
Here at the Patriots Charitable Foundation Golf Tournament, long driving contest. About halfway through here, Teddy Bruschi on the tee. Josh Miller led this thing off, Andy and Tom, and he still holds the lead.
Crushed one.
265, I believe it was.
Yep. Crushed both of his.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 245 and 265.
245 and 260. So the punter is still leading the way.
Although the All-Pro inside linebacker is on the tee as we speak.
Yeah, he's got a pretty good one off.
He hit a ground ball up the middle.
He hit a Paul Perillo ground ball up the middle.
Roosevelt Colvin, we should add, who guaranteed victory. His first one went about 6 feet.
Well, I saw the boys over here. There's plenty of players up on the patio now, and I saw the boys really giving it to Rosie when he came over after all the smack he was talking, and he turned around and did an above face and walked back off.
Talks a much better game.
But in his defense, his second one went 249.
No, he did hit the second one.
But the first one was funny because he was talking all the smack, and he got up.
Well, he virtually guaranteed victory.
Yeah.
He virtually guaranteed victory. Am I wrong on that?
Place now.
He could be.
249, I think, gets him second place.
Yeah, he could be. A couple of dangerous shots being sprayed around by
Corey Dillon almost took out a number of players.
A couple of sponsors were in jeopardy for a while.
He clanked it off a Range Rover that's parked over there.
Oh, we'll get to see Coach. What kind of golf? I never saw Coach Belichick take a swing.
That's a nice one. If it's not
hooked. Nope. Keep going right.
Who's up now?
Who just hit that one?
Who?
That was Graham.
Daniel Graham.
Well, Daniel Graham just got a bomb off. Unfortunately, it didn't go in the fairway. But a coach pass?
He's taking photos, I believe they said.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, I see him over there by the gazebo.
So he will tee off after he finishes over there.
So we're winding it down. I think a lot of the players are choosing not to, taking a Jerry Seinfeld approach.
Yeah, I choose not to hit.
I choose not to swing.
It's probably a solid decision by some of them.
But I don't know about you guys, but the surprise for me was Tom Brady.
Choking.
Yeah.
Not hitting the ball as we've become accustomed to seeing him on the pro-ams.
And then throwing his club in anger.
Well, that was kind of funny. And then, they were joking around that Matt Castle was going to have to go and get the club. Dan Copen on the team. Dan joined us, obviously, earlier today, and it's nice to see these guys who are coming off injuries participating in this tournament.
He's going to swing as hard as he can, he said.
He also said he's been mentally preparing all spring, but hasn't played.
but has yet to take a swing.
So we might want to watch ourselves back here.
Actually got off of...
He hit the ball well. Unfortunately, it's going left.
In the tree. Oh, it hit the tree. Get a bounce there? That's how I play.
He hit that a ton, though. It's too bad it didn't stay.
When I play, I often hope for a good kick out.
Harrison's up now.
Harrison,
another one that guaranteed victory.
PFW in progress, favorite Rodney Harrison on the tee.
And he was the one who clued us in that.
We will wrap up our
himself.
We will wrap up our coverage of the Patriots Charitable Foundation Golf Tournament after Rodney Harrison, see if he can pass Josh Miller.
So he's been playing three
times
a week.
Taking some Gatorade.
You got to think it's a little surprising that the punter is still leading the way here, no?
Yeah. Specialists are always good golfers.
I guess they have a lot of time on their hands.
To golf. They practice their swing on the side during practice.
They don't have the wear and tear on their bodies.
Plus, they don't have to get overly bulky. They don't lift as much.
Right.
A little more flexible.
So now Rodney is also...
taking his time? Yes, I agree.
but he also had talked a good game over here with us.
He guaranteed victory.
He did.
In the past, he's promised to share the Lamborghini and the Bentley and whatever other car is going to win. Didn't make that promise today.
Has he even teed up yet? He's taken for... Oh. Hopefully that was a practice one.
All right, Rodney's about to get his first attempt off. And it's going high and to the right.
It's in the fairway, just not the right one.
Yeah.
He got a good piece of it, but I can get a good piece of it.
And I continue to see Josh Miller walking around with that cigar in his mouth, just, without a care in the world.
I think he has victory wrapped up.
I believe he feels like he has this competition won.
Here it goes. Oh, he crushed this one.
He's got a good piece of this one.
He could take the lead, huh?
And we'll have to see.
Yeah, he crushed this one.
We'll have to see. This could be the winner here.
Is this all done all with GPS?
As Josh Miller nervously watches on. Are you still running out there?
He's still jogging to the ball.
This is over.
He's still running.
he destroyed that.
Wow.
We might have a new leader.
I think we have a new leader.
Wow.
285.
20 yards beyond.
285. That's a good time to put an end to this debacle of the
yes.
radio show. But
Harrison,
Rodney Harrison, congratulations. I'm sure that you'll be sharing that, whatever that prize is, with me.
Suit. You guys going to wear the same suit?
For Paul Perillo, Tom Casale, Gary Gradecki, we'll see you next week.